Coming up, we give some tickets away to Nerdtacular 2013.
Scott's nerves hurt.
Well, they did. 15 things you don't know about Forrest Gump.
Boston Bomber has fans?
No. Yes. Well, we'll get to it. What it takes to throw your teeth at the police.
Paris Jackson in trouble.
Interchangeable celebrities.
You're going to have to give those to me. Therapy Thursday.
A few emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, what are your feelings about the radio?
I don't hold with it, bub.
Displeases you?
I don't hold with furniture that talks.
And hooray, a colossal hairdo. The Morning Stream.
It's the show that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. This is The Morning Stream.
So, let me ask you a question, Brian. By the way, it's The Morning Stream, everybody, as you can tell. I think Scott Fletcher said it already, so I don't probably have to tell you again. It's The Morning Stream for Thursday, June 6, 2013. This is Scott Johnson. That is Brian Ibbett, and I got a question for you, all right?
Ask away, yes.
How old do I have to be for me to start saying crazy things like what that guy said?
I don't go with it, or I don't, what did he say?
I don't hold with it, bub.
I don't hold with it.
But it's, I want to play it again. It's short. I want to play it again and just kind of dissect this a little bit. So here it is.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, what are your feelings about the radio?
I don't hold with it, bub.
All right, first of all, I don't hold with it, bub.
I don't hold with it, bub.
Yeah, and it's such a... Okay, so this is a guy in the probably 30s saying to a dude on the street, hey, hot new medium, the radio, right. And you're a guy born when cowboys existed, and or you know, you came of age when they existed, and so what do you think about these things? And then he goes on to say...
It displeases you?
I don't hold with furniture that talks.
So he has boiled it down to that... He's boiled it down to that weird old early 1900s accent America
right.
way of saying, I don't hold with it, bub, and B, it's furniture that talks.
Furniture that talks.
So what will be? So here's the bottom line of what I'm trying to get to. What will be the thing, and if you had to predict, what will be the mm-hmm. thing that you say that on the street to some guy when he asks you about... So, Mr. Guy on the street, what do you think about a holographic whatever?
Excuse
whatever.
Me, sir. Do you like dubstep? No, I don't hold with it. I don't hold with songs that go wah, 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 wee.
All right. You answered it perfectly. That's exactly the answer I was hoping for. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. Good to be here. Good to have you here. And we have a lively chat room, as always. Always good to have them here. It's Therapy Thursday day, which means Wendy with her wisdom. Got a hard one today, like a tough topic, I think. I sent it to her and said, I said, are you sure this is okay? Can we talk about this?
Like basically giving her like the she's got the out. No, you know, I'd like to scale back to maybe just talk about Luddites who are afraid of talking furniture. Let's scale back to that.
Right. Can we do that? That'd be great.
See, now I'm scrolling ahead in the notes.
Yeah, scroll down. Just see the top. About. See the top paragraph or so. You'll get the idea of where this person's coming from. It's just it's a little, I don't know. It's just a little sensitive,
I think.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Oh.
So when I talked to her.
Oh, I missed that word there. Seeing that word against. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. There's a bit of. So it's just kind of one of those things that you don't. Like, the person who sent it in is, I think, brave, right?
Mm-hmm.
And B, there is no B. I don't have a thing for B. I only had A.
And C, we have their email address.
You're right. Exactly. So,
know who they are.
We will delve into that thick, rich business coming up later in the show. And looking forward to that. Always looking forward to that. All right. We have a winner for our 2013 Nerdtacular ticket giveaway. Two free tickets. You're going to have to keep playing those drums because I'm not doing it till the end of the show. But I'm going to let people know that this person should, if you're listening right now, don't check out at the end of Therapy Thursday. You're like, Wendy has solved the world's problems. I can just leave this show now. Mm-hmm. I can delete this MP3. No. You want to hang on because if you entered to win.
It might be your name.
Yeah, I'm going to say your name. Say my name. I'm going to tell you your name at the end of the show. What's that from? Say my name.
That's Destiny's Child.
Look at me, and look at you.
Yes.
All right, at the top of the...
round, you tell a different story. Are you playing games?
I don't remember any of that. Was Destiny's Child a... That was a Beyonce thing.
Yeah, that's how she got her start.
It was her and those two other ladies.
Exactly.
Right?
No, right. Okay. It's like they're the Andrew Ridgely of the 2000s.
Yeah, they may as well have been her. They may as well have been her pips. You know.
Right.
What happened to those two? Where'd they end? I know they're in the Super Bowl.
Kelly Rowland is they both came back on for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Kelly Rowland did her own solo thing for a while and
just didn't take off.
I don't remember what happened. I think there were actually three other members of Destiny's Child, not all at the same time. And there were two. There was Kelly Rowland, and then the third chair was occupied by two different women.
Okay.
Two different children.
Shemp and Moe. So did they,
exactly.
How come they weren't Destiny's Children? Explain that to me.
Oh, wow.
See?
Jeez.
I've taken your brain, I've massaged it, and I've put it back, and now
how
you're left
the
wondering.
Bare naked ladies feature neither bare naked nor ladies.
Whoa. Mind blown. Anyway, good luck to them. So you said in the top of the show, you made this statement that I think people are probably curious about, where you said, Scott's nerves hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was because it was written for me. It was like right here in the script.
Yeah, it's in the script. You're supposed to read it. Hold on.
I know as much about what's going on as the people who are listening who are confused about what's going on.
So you're confused. I'm confused. We're all confused. Let me explain what happened. And by the way, one more little complaint. Hold on. I got to pull it off my head. Chat room, you can see me wearing this hat this morning. I don't usually wear a hat, but when I do, I wear this Gap hat.
I wear the most interesting hat in the world.
Now, I knew you were going to say that. Now, the reason I wear this hat is it's one of the few in the world that has ever fit me. Hats don't fit me. They just don't. My head is too big.
A weird shaped head?
It's just big. And and there's rare. It's rare to find a hat the size that I need. And even this hat, which is the right size, it on the little thing on the back that you adjust it, the little whatever belt thing, it is at the most extreme length it can be. Even then, to still fit my head. So it's just the way it is. It's always been true. This size hat is a large, and getting anything bigger than that is hard and rare in a store. You have to get things online, and even then, it's a it's guesswork. So
no, it's just specific kinds of hats, because I've seen you do the beanie before, like the knit cap.
Those are fine.
The toque, yeah.
Toques are great. In fact, I would fit right in up there in the Canada. I would fit right in.
Sure, hoser, yeah.
I could start on Montreal across the street and move right over to Toronto for lunch. I could do whatever I needed to do while I was in Canada. So the point is that it's just a rare thing. So when I find one, especially in a store, I grab it and I buy it and I hold it dear, okay? So I've had this one forever. It's been like, it's got a big old sweat ring on it. I've taken it to like river trips, and I've had it probably 10 years or something. I never wash it. Okay. Just don't.
All right.
I don't wash it. But somehow, I know.
I'm kidding.
But somehow it ended up in the laundry, and it came out the other side like Andy Dufresne. A little bit clean, but look at the brim of this thing.
Hat came out clean on the other side.
Is out the other side, and it's ugly now, and looks like it's a piece of crap, and I'm pissed.
Oh, look at that. No, now it's got some wear. Now it looks like what all the kids want to wear.
I guess, but that thing is too, I don't know, it's too clean. It's like finding out there's an android underneath a person's skin or something.
Oh, right, that white, like a bone.
Hat bone.
That was the last time I saw my Gap hat.
Hat bone was my scat singing rapping name in the 80s. I was Hatbone, everyone called me.
Hatbone.
Anyway, I'm just pissed about it. But no, that's got nothing to do with the nerves.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, I guess that's what you were starting with, right?
Yeah, and then I went off on a tangent. Tangential. So here's the deal. I have this thing occasionally, and I think I'm just wired funny, where...
No surprise there, but go ahead.
Yesterday morning, right around the time the show was starting, I started to notice that my ring finger on my left hand started to hurt.
Ooh.
And it felt like I'd sprained it or pulled it wrong or bent it back or even broken it, like a cracked bone kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had any injury there. And I thought, well, what the heck is this? Like, why is it doing this? And this happens once in a while. Now, this also happens to be a finger that I have jammed multiple times playing basketball in my life to the point of almost unrecognizable as a finger, just fat knuckle bomb, right?
Okay.
So it's prone to like act up when the weather gets bad. It gets a little achy and things like that. But yesterday it got really severe, like really hurt. And then I start to notice that the corresponding toe on the same side on my left foot starts to hurt, like real bad. Same position toe to my finger position, right? So my ring toe finger, whatever it is called. What would you call that toe? You got the piggy.
Your penultimate toe, because it's the one right before the last
very
one.
Good. Is it the one that went to market? Which one? Let's see. Stayed home. Cried all the way home.
The one that stayed home. It's the one that stayed
home. Freaking lazy ass toe.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And why, you know. Jeez.
Well, anyway, so that starts to ache real bad. And now they're in concert with one another. I feel my heart beating in one and then my heart beating in the other. And then that's the rhythm all day.
Wow. Back,
I know. It sucks. So then, this happens once in a while to me. It just was really severe yesterday. Then the same, whatever those nerves are connecting to, they're so agitated that then they're starting. It's starting to go up my back, like the back ribs, up to my neck and right into my ear. So now my ear, ring finger, and the stay home toe are throbbing in unison.
Really? Like all in concert?
All
like
in concert. And if you pinched one, the other two would hurt more. Like I could pinch the finger and my toe would go zing and my ear would go. And if I put my finger in my ear and kind of pushed it real hard or whatever, my finger would feel like something's going to pop out of it. So
that's really weird.
It is weird. So this isn't the first time. It's happened before. And it's always this left side thing. I got some kind of weird sciatic, kind of weird, pinchy, nervy thing. Mm-hmm. But, and I've had it probably, it's done this on and off probably for, probably since like around 03, 04. So it's been that long. And very once in a while, it's not that big a deal. It's not debilitating by any means or anything like that. But I had to go to this meeting yesterday where I sat in this chair listening to people talk, supposed to be focusing, going, toe, ear, finger, toe, ear, finger, toe, ear, finger.
That's all you can think, like all your, right.
Now I'll tell you what helps. Geez. You want to hear what helps?
Sure.
Here's my old man remedy for my old man ailment.
Oh, God.
It's not so bad. 10 minutes.
Ten
10 or 15 minutes in the hot tub.
Oh sure.
That starts it. That's a good start. But then I need to take 4 of these. What do you call it? Pills.
Vitamins.
No.
Pills. Pills seems like a good word.
Magnesium. Magnesium.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's really good. It's supposed to be really good for your. It's good for your nerves. Mm-hmm. And that took care of it. So it's still a little tight, still a little twingy, but I don't know. It's like every other month or so, I get a little bit of this. Just yesterday, though, I was like, "What?" I could hear it singing. It was terrible.
Weird. But it happens about the same time every year. Is it weather related? I mean, getting more moist in the air?
Everything that I've ever injured in my life aches and throbs when it's about to rain. Always. My knee on the right side. my broken toe.
Dude, you're just broken.
I know. I hate that. I hate it. I am a human barometer. I get headaches when it's going to rain. And my daughter, same freaking thing. She's just got it. This is the way it is. Kim's like, nothing, right? The other two, no problem. Carter just aches like a mother when it's going to rain. It's really weird. Anyway. There, I shared with you a little personal medical history there.
Well, thank you. Yes. Now take 2 more magnesium and call me in the morning.
Thank you very much. All right. Check it out. Some more snake oil for you here.
Okay.
All this talk yesterday, well, this week really, about Forrest Gump keeps coming up.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why. We talk about Pulp Fiction being robbed of its Oscar by Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. We talked about Shawshank being robbed by its Oscar or from its Oscar because of it. And then I've had to question my own loyalty to things because I kind of quite like Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. But I also understand the consternation of both Pulp Fiction and Shawshank fans because I'm a fan of both. More Shawshank probably than Pulp Fiction, but whatever.
It's crazy that all 3 movies came out.
It was a good year.
We're all battling it out. It was a great year. Yeah. Film. Holy mackerel.
94. Think of it this way, dude. 1984. Remember, that's the year of all movies, right? That's everything that ever really was any good came out in 84. Right. Then 94. I'm trying to think in 2004, I mean, I remember there being quite a few movies, but I don't remember if they were like, if it was that big of a deal as the other 4s. But anyway. Yeah,
True Lies was that same year.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber, Lion King.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what 2004 has for
us. I know 2004 had The Incredibles, and that's all I remember.
The Incredibles, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Eternal Spot Shine of the Sunless Mind.
Mm-hmm. Right. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Anchorman, Million Dollar Baby, Shrek 2. Wow. Yeah, 2004, not as big. 1994 and 1984. I mean, Incredibles, for sure. But
99, I remember being really good.
Kill Bill 2, Troy, Spider-Man 2, Born Supremacy. Really not
sequels and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
Alien vs. Predator, the Dawn of the Dead remake, Mean Girls.
Ooh, that Dawn of the Dead remake's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that
one. It's the Zack Snyder joint.
Right.
And if you want to see Phil Dunphy in a role that you don't ever want to see him in, that's the movie to see.
Really?
Oh, he is a bastard. Right. You know how every good zombie movie, one of the survivors is going to just, if he gets a chance, he'll just stab everyone in the back and screw everybody else, save himself and throw everyone else to the dogs. He's that guy. Phil Dunphy, of all people. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, you should see it. It's also boobs in it.
Well, then I'm set.
It's actually the one movie that makes me the most excited about Zack Snyder's turn with Spider-Man. More than 300, more than Watchmen. I feel like he showed actual filmmaking skills and not just CGI mastery, you know? Mm-hmm. Like he could make a movie, and it was pretty effective. And it's the only really decent zombie remake I've seen. So, yeah, worth seeing. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing.
I will throw that on the list.
I like the zombies.
We just watched another recommendation of yours. Finally, Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which I'm so glad you recommended that. It is so fantastic.
Crazy great movie. And it's so funny that you can enjoy a thing that is all subtitles, that is so subtle. Right. I mean, I don't mean you. I just mean in general.
Right, a person. Yeah, and what's amazing
so good
is, you know, you on the surface, it's this movie about this guy who just makes amazing sushi and charges $300 for dinner and people come in and eat the stuff. And my God, I mean, everything that he put on that plate.
It made me so hungry.
It really did. It's like, oh, I'd eat that. I'd eat that.
I'd eat everything he made.
Yeah. Tina's not a huge, you know, she'll stick to the basics. She likes California roll. She likes other kinds of rolls.
Like a good Vegas roll. Mm.
Right.
It's the most ridiculous, like, non-Japanese thing ever made. But, man, they're
God,
good.
I know. Yeah. Deep fried and everything. They're tempura fried.
Yeah.
But everything that he's putting on that plate, you know, like, you get the shiny fish skin on the outside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd eat that.
Yeah, I'd eat that. Totally eat that. So good. Not a problem.
So that's on the surface, right? It's on the surface. It's this movie about sushi. But, of course, beyond that, the depth of that is it's just about figuring out what your passion is and always striving to be the best at it or to keep improving at it. Maybe not, you know, in competition with anybody else, but in competition with yourself to be the best at something.
It's inspiring as heck. And it's just about a guy making sushi, but taking that principle so seriously, and you can apply it to whatever the hell you're doing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should rewatch it every couple of months just to go, oh, okay, I need some motivation or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's really good. People should watch it. Anyway, well, that's great. I'm glad you saw that. So, Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you talked much about it.
Is that how this whole thing
started? Yeah, that's how this all got started. So here are 15 things you didn't know about Forrest Gump, all right?
Oh, what website is providing this
list? Let me check. Let's see. Oh, it's BuzzFeed. They're new. They're a new little joint. Uh-huh. Yeah.
They do lists? Interesting.
Well, apparently, I mean, there's just this one, but, you know, there might be more.
Okay.
All right, here's what you didn't know. Number one, John Travolta, Chevy Chase, and Bill Murray all turned down the role of Forrest Gump.
All right? Holy cow. Okay, so let's analyze this. Let's look at these one at a time. So John Travolta as Forrest Gump.
Hey.
Like the
Mom always said it, life was like a box of chocolates. Don't touch my hair.
Life is like a box of chocolates. Mr. Cotter. Yeah, that's
I don't know, man. And then Chevy Chase is just such a dick, he would have been too hard to work with.
Right, but I can't picture him, you know, pulling that. He always has to act like he's the smartest person in the room. So for him to act like
the simplest person in the room,
exactly. And
because it's not like to quote Robert Downey Jr., it's not like Forrest Gump was going full retard. Unquote. I can quote this because it's not me saying
it. I hate that phrase, but yes,
I know. But it's not like he was doing that. It was playing this simple, quiet. Not all there from a like a intellectual standpoint, but all there from I understand life standpoint, right?
Exactly.
Chevy Chase cannot see that. Just can't see it.
Nor Bill Murray. I don't think that again, it would have been a very, very different movie with Bill Murray as Forrest Gump because it wouldn't have been.
He just would have done that gopher hunter guy.
Right, exactly. Well, oh, geez. Right.
Think about it.
Would you imagine explosions?
Yeah, it would have been. So Mama always said,
Hey, Dolly, how about a little something for the effort?
Anyway, so there's that. Number two, in reality, Sally Field is only 10 years older than Tom Hanks. So there's that.
Wow.
She's always seemed a lot older than him in the movie, especially when he was a kid. Let's skip down. That one doesn't matter. Four, Ice Cube and Dave Chappelle both, again, turned down the role of Bubba. Ice Cube Shrimp.
Ice Cube, man. That would have been weird.
Ice Cube Shrimp. What does Dave Chappelle do? What's the main guy? Oh, he does the...
I'm Rick James, bitch!
I can't imagine either of these things. Let's see. We knew it was Haley Joel Osment's first film. Skipping down. Kurt Russell did the voice of Elvis Presley in the film, but was never credited.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's some cool trivia, because he's played Elvis a couple times, hasn't he?
Yeah, in the 1979 TV film called Elvis, he played Elvis, and I think he was either Elvis or Elvis-like in a couple
like
of other
Elvis
movies.
Like impersonator, like something Miles to Graceland. No, that was...
he was in that, I think, with Kevin Costner and all them.
Yes, right. Yeah, that was Miles to Graceland.
I think he was one of those guys. I always meant to see that. Never saw that. That was one movie I always went, oh, yeah, I'd like to see this, and just never saw it. Eight, the line, "My name is Forrest Gump, people call me Forrest Gump," was ad-libbed by Tom Hanks while filming the scene. Number nine is my favorite. It's my totally favorite. Forrest has his eyes closed in every photo of him in the entire film.
That's funny. I've never noticed that, but when Tristan and I watched this for pizza and movie night, I'm gonna have to look for that. That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome. His brother doubled for him in all his running sequences. That wasn't him running; it was his brother.
Did not even know that Tom Hanks had a brother.
Didn't
Jim
either.
Hanks.
Jim Hanks. Yo, yo, Jim. Need you for this movie.
Okay.
Let's see. There was no ball in the ping pong matches. It was all CGI. We knew that.
Mm-hmm.
The Doors have a total of 6 songs in the movie, more than any other band. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Ray Manzarek. Let's see what else. The line Forrest says in his microphone turned off at the rally. Remember he said something and it got turned off?
Oh, right. Yeah, the audio blanked out. Right.
Spoiler, here's what he said. "Sometimes when people go to Vietnam, they go home to their mamas without any legs. Sometimes they don't go home at all. That's a bad thing. That's all I have to say about that." That's it.
Interesting.
That was the whole thing. Number 14, here's a good one. Forrest always wears a blue plaid shirt in the first scene of each age transition. So when he was like kid and then older and then college and then
really?
Old, every time blue plaid shirt.
Okay, that's interesting.
I love crap like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Love it. All right, following the huge success of the film, Winston Groom, the author of the first Forrest Gump, wrote a sequel called, it was a novel called Gump and Company. And the first page says, Forrest Gump tells the readers, quote, "Don't ever let nobody make a movie of your life story," is what he says.
Interesting.
I assume that's like dad and son, because the photo there looks like a father-son deal. And I'm kind of glad they didn't make a movie. So,
yeah, that's one that they really don't need to follow up with a sequel.
No,
for sure.
They don't. Anyway, so there's some fun facts for you there, Brian.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Stuff I certainly didn't know.
Forrest Gump. And now you know.
Gump. Forrest Gump.
Let's move on. Should we call Daryl? I think it'd be time now.
Sure. Life is like a box of tribbles.
Hey, well, nice tie in there. I like what you did.
A little segue.
Yeah.
A
little segue. That's what Peter Dinklage rides to work on. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it is brought to you by
The Nerd's Domain presents Masks of Nyar Lathotep.
Yeah, baby!
There you go. Yes, I was separating it out. A Call of Cthulhu play podcast at tinyurl.com/nerdmasks. Join us in our podcast as we follow our investigators as they unravel devilish plots using the Call of Cthulhu 6th edition rules. Only 5 days left. We said that yesterday, so it's only 4 days left, right?
Yeah.
Check it out at tinyurl.com/nerdmasks.
Yeah, nice. I kept trying to keep the days up. I think I forgot on that one. But yes, like
see,
4 days left.
The problem was that I was trying to jam that Nyar instead of Nyar. Yeah.
Nyar. All right.
Last day, I finally get it, so we won't have this anymore. Damn.
Speaking of pirates, Daryl's on the phone. Hello, Daryl.
Nyar.
Yarg. So Daryl put up a Vine of him recording or saying something during this segment yesterday and then putting it on Vine. That was a little bit weird. That was a little weird to see. Yeah. I thought it was just strange. It was strange to see Daryl say a thing I remember him saying, and then seeing him in an office setting saying it on the phone.
Oh, weird, yeah.
And he's all like in a cubicle with like business lights and the phone, and he just looked all official, and that was just, that was weird. I don't know why I don't picture you doing that, but that was an odd juxtaposition, as people would say.
Now, well, next time I'll have to do it how it actually sounds, like I'm in a cave or with, I don't know what it, how you'd imagine it.
I think you should do it now. Well, the way I picture it, I picture the cubicle way, you had a lot more open space than I suspected. I thought you were like just a little cramped little, I'm trying to think of an example of this. like, you know, trying to, what's his name telling you you need your stapler in office space kind of thing. Like just cramped and
Milton, right?
Milton,
sure.
Yeah. Like I don't know why I expected that. It's because some of the days you're kind of like, well, if Captain Picard, you know, he's just so quiet close to the right. phone. I just expected right. more claustrophobia, but there really wasn't a problem.
Well, that was just aimed up at the ceiling. There's really nothing above me but the ceiling.
I enjoyed your nostril hair. It was a nice view. do that more. That's fun. I like to see that. It cracked me up. All right, Daryl, it's Stump a Trek Nerd time. You are a Trek nerd, and it's time to stump you. Oh, hold on. I just lost my O-ring. Let me fix that.
Your O-ring?
Yeah, it's a long story.
Blew an O-ring.
I was going to say, yeah. I can fix O-ring. That.
Anyway, trivia time about Star Trek.
Order apart from Japan, but it'll take a few days.
Hey, how soon did Janeway lose the big honey or the big bee bonnet hairdo? Do we know how long that took? Because I've about had it with it already. I need that thing to go. I've been watching these episodes, and it's no. Oh, and also, oh gosh, I can't believe I'm going to almost forgot to ask this question. Did Chakotay? Sorry, I'm all up in this Voyager stuff. Did Chakotay have actual Indian powers? Could he like
what?
They're doing these episodes where he's sitting around with Janeway, and she closes her eyes and opens them, and she's like in the forest waiting for her spirit beast to come and talk to her or something. Like there's all this like actual. Like ancient American Indian, Native American, like stuff, you know, spirit animals and her talking to the whatever and lots of Anasazi kind of flutes blown in the wind and stuff like that. Like it's, I feel like they're going full on like that stuff's really happening. Like it's an alien power now or something. Do you remember this?
There wasn't much of that.
Okay, good. Because I've seen one and I went, okay, please no more of that. Let's not do that again. You know what? I love the idea that it's his culture and he's bringing it into the ship and he's sharing it with his captain and that stuff's great. But I don't like when they're actually sitting around and everything starts to happen. Like, oh, there's your goat. There's your magic goat over there talking to you, your spirit goat. It wasn't actually a goat. But if it was, it would have gone, ah! Like that. Daryl, boy, I'm awfully awake for 5 a.m. I don't know what's going on.
You're better than me. I'm drinking the coffee and I'm just having a hard time waking up this morning.
Just nodding off with everything we say. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
What? Oh, what? You can say my name? So, Daryl.
We had something to eat.
Let's get to your trivia question. This is Next Generation related, and it's sent to us by Mike Icewarm. I don't give him enough credit. Thank you, Icewarm, for all your fine work that he does each week on these. In the Next Generation episode, Brothers, a young boy named Willie Potts. That's a funny name. is in critical condition after eating a cove palm plant. Cove palm plant, all right? He was playing a game of laser tag with his brother. Willie's brother's name, I'm sorry, played a joke on him and made him think he had killed him. He ran off and ate this plant and got sick. What is the name of Willie's brother? Is it A, Timothy, B, Jake, C, Robert, or D, Ben? Timothy, Jake, Robert, or Ben are your potential answers, all right? And normally, this would be the time of the show where I'd say this. I'd go, hold on, I'd say...
Aren't you hungry?
And I'd say, well, yeah, but we have no food yet, so still not hungry. I got a box yesterday, and I thought it was it, but it was a bunch of tools, and I don't know why I have some tools. A
box of tools.
Someone sent me, like, screwdrivers and, like, Allen wrenches for no
really?
Reason. I don't know what... We didn't order it. We don't know how we got it. So,
okay.
Still trying to figure it out.
Are there any O-rings in there?
No. Oh, there is a big, let's see. I can't show it, but there is kind of an O-ring. There's a big metal clamp. I don't have it here to show, but it's a big metal clamp. I don't know what it's for. And it looks like an O, so you could spell a word with it if you had to. Daryl, let's talk about birthdays. Somebody in Star Trek, like an actor or other important producer type person, anybody celebrating today?
Well, tomorrow will be Bill Prady's birthday. He is the executive producer and writer for Big Bang Theory.
Ah.
And he on Star. Oh, shoot. I didn't write down how old. I think he's 53 tomorrow.
He's 53 tomorrow. Yep, that's right.
Wow.
Yep.
How'd you know that, Brian?
Because I pulled up the, whenever he says a birthday, I always pull up the IMDb listing of who he's talking about so I can see a picture and go, oh, that's the guy who plays the blackjack dealer in such and such.
Oh,
the,
I should do this
the
more.
Car repair mechanic.
That actually sounds kind of fun. Hold on. What's his name again?
Bill Prady.
Bill, yeah.
Prady. Oh, there he is. Writer Big Bang Theory, 2007. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks like a dude in his 50s. So what was he on? What did he do on Star Trek?
He wrote the Voyager episode Bliss.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've gotten to that yet. By the way, Kes, she's cute. Not now, though. Mm-hmm. Something happened. Something got weird.
It's called getting old.
Well, I don't know about that. Pretty quick after Star Trek, something got weird.
Right.
But she's real pretty in that show, I thought.
She is. She's really...
Makeup
or whatever. Not crazy about the hair. I like longer hair, but...
She's also in
style. Like it's a big. It's not like a little thin bob. It's a big, like bushy.
It's a big. Yeah, it's like a bulb.
It's a big bushy bob.
Yeah, big bushy bob. Big bushy bob. This fall on CBS. So I think that she's. I think that she's really interesting, and I don't know why she left. I know there was some controversy about that, but I think she was interesting in that show, and I'm not excited about her leaving it because I think she adds. I mean, she was basically the Deanna Troi of the ship, right? She kind of had some precog power. She could tell when things were going to happen or people had been there, and she kind of could feel people's emotions and stuff. And then that went away, and we got a Borg chick who was totally hot. All right.
Oh, really? Is that how it worked? Like, she got replaced by Seven of Nine?
She didn't get replaced, and it was the while after she left that okay. Seven of Nine came. But you did lose, a strong female role for quite a while there, for at least a couple seasons, mm-hmm. I think. And then Seven of Nine came and all was well.
Okay.
All the balance to the Force came back.
Interesting.
I'm excited. I'm really enjoying it. Enjoying it. It's fun.
I need to watch it again.
Like I was saying the other day, you just park your bias at the door, the things you think you hated about it, and you mm-hmm. just look at it fresh again, knowing that you don't have any other alternatives because there's no new Star Trek. And if you don't remember or hadn't seen most of it, it's new to you and it's fun. Like to just get it, take it in again. Even the cheesy stuff's fun to watch. So anyway, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sorry. Daryl, back to your question. Timothy, Jake, Robert, or Ben was the name of this brother who ate the plant and got sick. Or was he the one that faked the death or something? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was a dumb episode.
Oh, that was a good episode.
I didn't like it. I don't like any of the kid ones.
Well, yeah, that's true. They don't do kids well on there for
the
season.
They don't. They need to hire, somebody who does kids better. Get the what was the 60s show with Fred Savage? What was that called? Not in the 60s. It was made in the 80s. But
the Wonder Years.
Wonder Years. Have that guy direct an episode and put kids in it. He was good with kids. Why not?
Yeah.
Put J.J. Abrams in there. He did. Super 8 was great with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do better
stuff.
Yeah,
some directors can. They know how to write for kids or make it genuine and not feel precocious. And
yeah, but Star Trek never does this right, ever.
No.
It's I don't know what's built into it or something wrong with the way children are just handled. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, so what do you think?
Okay. I'm going to take Ben out because Gentle Ben was not a kid. He was a bear.
He was. Grew up in Beaver, Utah, by the way. Utah connection. That's the truth. The guy that played that, or the bear that played Gentle Ben, that's that dude's from here. That bear's from here. He's not a dude. He's a bear. Was from here. Yep. Died. They don't live like we do. They don't live like 100 years. They die. They die.
So
I found out my snake, by the way. I found out yesterday my snake will be 25 when he's ready to pass on.
Really? Yeah. So like they...
Which might be about as old as I am, or about the time I pass on.
So that's the lifespan of a snake.
Yeah. Crazy, right? I had no idea.
Yeah.
They live longer than
that. That's a lot shorter. Yeah, no kidding.
I figured 5 years maybe or something, but nope.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than a dog. Anyway. Sorry, Daryl.
Okay. Let's see. Rob, that's a zombie, so I'm crossing that out.
I love the way you do this. This is the best.
So it's between Tim and Jake.
Okay.
And since you have a snake and Jake is a snake, okay, I should choose that.
Okay. That's an interesting idea. I mean, my snake's name is Norman, but still, Jake and snake rhyme. Jake the Snake.
Well, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts, that wrestler guy.
Yeah. Hmm? Look at you, Mr. WWE. I didn't know you knew wrestling stuff. Wow. That's cool. Do you like wrestling, actually? I've never asked you that.
Oh, back in the day with Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper and all that, that was just fun to watch their crazy stunts.
That was an awesome time. That was the Renaissance period for wrestling, for sure.
Yeah, and all their funny soap operas and all their nutty stuff.
Yeah, and for you, and then, you know, yeah, that stuff was great. All right, well, let's find out if your weird intuition is correct. Is it B? Is it Jake?
Congratulations!
Good Lord.
You're a winner!
That's crazy. Jake is his brother's name. In this episode, a beacon is activated and Data hijacks the Enterprise. It takes him to a planet where the creator Noonien Soong is living. This beacon also attracts Lore. Eventually, the ship is back on course for Starbase, where Willy receives medical attention. Here's a clip of Data hijacking the Enterprise using Picard's voice. It's kind of weird on our end.
Computer, establish a security code for access to all functions previously transferred to Bridge.
Enter code.
17346732147 6 Charlie 3 2 7 8 9 7 7 7 6 4 3 Tango 7 3 2 Victor 7 3 1 1 7 8 8 8.
That must have been a fun day in the booth.
I'm sorry, you've used that password in the last 30 days. Please come up with a new one.
Also, one capital letter. Some numbers. Yeah.
Right.
Two forms of identification. And you're, you know what they needed? They needed two. They never had two. What's it called? We call it now two-level security or two.
Oh, two-pass. Kapersky?
Kapersky. That's it. I forget what it's called. Two-level chat two room? Pass. Come on.
Or two-step authentication.
Yeah, that's it. Two-step authentication. They should have had that in Star Trek. Man, we're ahead of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, also in Voyager, the all the tools are just fat. Everything's fat. Like the big, the tricorders, they got some cool new LEDs on them, but they're fat. It's like, come on, man. Thin those babies up a little bit. All right. That's what we need a new Star Trek for. Okay. They need to thin everything up in a new Star Trek show. That's what they need to do. All right, Daryl, you've done well today. You faked your way through a win. That's fantastic. That puts you at 3 for 4 on the week, which is fantastic. We'll do it again next week. He's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. ThisWeekInTrek.com for the TV show, for the podcast about the shows. You can catch that each and every week. And Daryl's probably got a quote now that we can muss up. So go ahead. What do you got?
Computers make excellent and efficient servants, but I have no wish to serve under them.
That sounds too hoity-toity to be like
it's
McCoy.
I'm saying it's like an older person.
I know.
I'm going to say Scotty.
I'm going to say Pulaski.
And I thought this was easy. It was Spock.
Oh, damn it. Why did he say that? He likes computers.
You're logical. You didn't say it in your usual Spock voice.
Yeah, what happened?
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the Dystopic Radio Network. Join Wendell and Niles on last month's Dystopic Boys for their discussion of the 1951 classic Five in the anime, The End of Evangelion. Evangelion?
Evangeline, with the chick from Lost. That's who they're talking about.
Evangeline Lilly?
Yeah,
sure.
That's the one.
Also, check out the new weekly Last Frequency podcast for news and discussion of current and upcoming games, movies, and TV. On the premiere Last Frequency episode, we discuss the amazing BioShock Infinite. Find all this and more at dystopicradio.com. You can help us out by liking us on Facebook and giving us a rating or review on iTunes. See you on the other side.
Does a carcar tizanergev?
Evangelion, that's it. Evangelion.
There you go. Does a carcar tizanergev? Ariev. American
See,
douchebag.
Okay. It ain't just me.
Boston bombing suspect, douchebag extraordinaire.
Jokar Sarnev.
That guy.
Yeah,
he's getting donations from supporters now. This is what I hate, right? There's always this, though. There's always this thing where you are infamous, you're in prison now, or you're going to be, or whatever, and there's a faction of people. It's always been true, so it's not any different today. It's just we know about it quicker, and it's the internet and whatever. But back in the day, Charles Manson had a bunch of people who loved him no matter what and sent him stuff and sent him love letters always. And you always hear about these women who marry like these killers and stuff in prison. And it's just weird.
No, Ted Bundy had his fans too. Like he was a reasonably attractive guy, and so he seemed to be popular with the ladies once he was in prison.
Absolutely, and he was a big Utah connection with that guy because
he went to school
out here. Mm-hmm. Went to the U of U for his law degree. I want to say there's some other connections there, but when they did the movie with Mark Harmon in it, mm-hmm. I never forget this. There's a scene where he kidnaps. I don't know if the location was actually accurate, but there's a scene where he kidnaps one of his victims, and he does it in the back parking lot of the local Raspberry Records where I used to buy all my tapes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they filmed it all here.
Oh, wow.
So right there at Raspberry Records, and the view of the camera was the side of Raspberry Records, and then across the street, this giant mall called the Cottonwood Mall, which is now torn down. But I used to go there all the time. I'd sit in line at Software Etc. to get my PlayStation 1 like that. I was always in that mall. I would skip like four periods of school to go and play at the arcade. Like that mall was
really?
My life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Love that mall. It's where my friend would give me free pizza, the Sbarro pizza. You know, the place where it has an SB at the front, which is totally stupid.
Exactly. Unnecessary. Only, like that's supposed to be mm-hmm. Italian. Authentic Italian.
Yeah.
Show me another Italian word with SB at the beginning.
There isn't one. Yeah. So the place was called the Gold Mine, the arcade I would hang out in. I loved it there, and I would buy all my video games there. I bought all my Genesis and Super NES stuff there. Like that was a place I just lived as a gamer, as a teenager, as a 20 something. I'd take my little babies there when my kids were first born. We'd just walk them around that mall, and just always thought about Ted Bundy kidnapping somebody right across the street now because of seeing that stupid TV movie. Anyway, that's not the point.
That's
What's
crazy.
The point? Oh, the point is this guy's getting donations. They've been pouring in. The surviving Boston bomber suspect told his mother on a phone call from a military hospital, according to Channel 4, local affiliate there. He, in the first released recording of Ted's voice since April 15th attacks, the suspect told his mother, Zubi dat tisvenerva.
Close enough.
Zubaydat. You need to do it like China, where they all change their name to Kevin. Just do that. Supporters set up a bank account for him and have donated about $1,000. Not a ton, but whatever.
No.
In today's money, that's not that much. Channel 4 reported, I spoke to the news outlet with her ex-husband in Dagestan. I don't know.
It's Dagestan.
I sound so American today, don't I?
Right.
Shared that she also is getting help from supporters and has collected about $8,000. Well, she could use the help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a terrible thing to be supporting the mom. She's got a rough deal ahead of her. But the
so do
kid,
they have
come
set
on.
Up like the Walter White cancer PayPal? Where they get a little ding every
That's
time.
Really, they give Walter Jr. going, Dad, we got some more money.
Right.
I was bordering on offensive there with the way I did that voice.
maybe just on the border.
Just borderline. All right. Don't support that guy. William Moody, arrested for allegedly tossing his dentures at police.
Nice.
You pigs. Take my teeth. William Moody may have lived up to his name last Friday afternoon with his driveway, or after his driveway was blocked. Why? Because he's moody.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, HuffPost.
What does that have to do with William? I don't get it. HuffPost.
Yeah, pretty good, HuffPost. He was allegedly so angry he ended up tossing his dentures at the cops. Police say the incident started after there was a multi-vehicle crash near Moody's home in North Strabane Township. And one passerby, a woman, stopped to help. Cannon McMillan Patch reported.
Oh. Darn, I was going to say that, how like in Iran and Iraq, throwing your shoe at somebody is like the worst.
It's like really
one
offensive.
Of the worst offensive things you can do.
Yeah.
So I was thinking that maybe, in Florida, throwing your dentures at somebody is the equivalent of that.
I don't understand why that
this
shoe
isn't
thing.
Even Florida.
That's true. That's true. But I don't understand why that, you mentioned the shoe thing. Why is that so offensive? What is it about that?
Because that's what walks on the ground. I mean, that's the part that touches the ground. I believe the ground is filthy, and that's the thing that.
So it's your dirtiest bit, really.
Right. Exactly. It's also the same reason you shake with your right hand and never do anything with your left, because your left is for
peeing.
Bathroom cleanliness. Yes.
Is exactly. it? Because I never use my left hand for that.
Maybe it's the other way around. I don't know.
I mean, look, when I wipe old people's butts with my raw hand, I don't even wash it, and I still shake your hand. So I don't know what the problem is. Otherwise, unfortunately, the Good Samaritan.
Remember that in Nerdtacular, folks.
The Good Samaritan parked in the driveway of 71-year-old Moody, boxed him in and his wife for 10 minutes while they were trying to go to dinner. Moody was allegedly so angry, screamed at both the police and the woman who was trying to help at the accident scene, to help the victim. When one of the officers tried to talk to him, the suspect reportedly pushed and shoved the officer while cursing profanely, grabbed his teeth out of his mouth, and hucked him. All right, look.
Wow.
10 minutes? You're kept 10 minutes from going to Denny's? Or whatever the hell you were doing. This is where I have a problem with people. All right. My problem with people, 71 or not, there's an accident. People got hurt. You can take 10 minutes. It's not a big freaking deal. Change your life a little bit for other people. I cannot stand the narcissist. I'm probably taking this too far, but the narcissistic state of people, just like, the world doesn't.
Right.
The world revolves around me. It sounds trite to say that, but it's I freaking.
How are
hate
you
it.
Inconveniencing me? How dare you?
Right.
Yes.
How dare you? Like, pitch in, you old grumpy turd. Do something. You know what? Most people would. So he's a weird exec. Your average 71-year-old guy trying to get to Denny's on a Friday night and getting blocked in your driveway because somebody got hurt is not going to do this. Most of them are going to go, oh, my goodness, how can I I help?
Exactly. Do you need to use my phone? Would you like to come in? Do you need some water?
I've got a shed full of power tools. Any of those help? I mean, jaws of life kind of business going on here. Burk, 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 burk. Like he could totally, you could have helped.
Mm-hmm.
Burk, 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 burk.
Is that how it goes?
I don't know. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the program today. Hey, everybody, support tweakedaudio.com because I got a guy this morning says the audio was so good. He said this on Twitter. The audio was so good that I heard the haunting sound of typing yesterday during the song as we were getting out. And that was me. I was like prepping the show for posting it. And he says, they're so good. You hear it. Because I went back and listened. I couldn't hear it just over speakers. And I thought, oh, or even these headsets, this head thing I'm wearing right now. So apparently the sound is so good coming out of those Tweaked Audio earbuds that he's hearing me type.
He can hear like all the background noises. Yeah. He hears how the sausage is made.
Right. It was just like that. Five great styles, seven great colors. I don't know why I made a fart noise just now. I really don't. I felt like Tourette's a little bit. Is that the first sign? You make a fart sound and you didn't mean to? Is that the sign of Tourette's, Brian? Would you? Can you diagnose me here?
It's not making that noise.
What
it's,
would
it's
it be?
It's the language. It's the blue words.
Is it always blue words or can it just be frying pan, frying pan? Or
fireball.
Fireball. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt.
Right.
I have LARPer's disease.
LARPing and Tourette's, same thing.
LARPets. That sounds like a dance group.
Right.
It's LARPers and the LARPets. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability, noise reduction, and all the things you love. Lifetime warranty on everything. Use the code STREAM at checkout. Save thyself 33% next time you go to tweakedaudio.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
Hey, look, it's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Today on Coverville. That's what it's brought to you, brought to you today by... it is time for a Prince cover story this afternoon, so stick around for that. He's turning 55, which is funny because I actually thought he was older, but he's still a younger dude.
No more symbol, right? He's done with that.
No more symbol. He's done with that, but he's still purple. He's still the purple paisley one.
Mm-hmm.
And still actually putting stuff out. I just heard a cover he did. What was it? It was something odd, but he's more into the guitar stuff than the vocal stuff. Like he did Creep a year ago at Coachella or one of the big audio festivals.
I'm a creep. That one.
Exactly. But he's a lot more focused on his guitar than he is on releasing new funk and Prince albums. Like he's more of a performance live concert kind of thing than an album.
A big draw too, I think. I think a lot of people
I'd
really
still love
it
to see Prince in concert. And he commands, like he had a residency in Vegas for a while where he was commanding like $250 a ticket or $150 a ticket at the Rio.
Well, if you'll check the your Skype chat, you'll see my favorite photo of Prince.
Oh God. All right.
Check that business out. That's high school, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Right. It doesn't look like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's like an extra on Good Times or something.
Right.
Paris Jackson, Jackson.
Jackson.
Rushed to a hospital after a suicide attempt.
Oh, this is so sad.
Michael Jackson's daughter. Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of knew their kids wouldn't be the most grounded, you know.
You feel, I mean, they didn't choose to be kind of thrust into
It makes it
this
worse.
Kind of lifestyle, you know?
Yep. No, it makes it way worse. They don't really even have, I mean, there's no parents. There's no.
No.
There's just money. Just
does
money.
Debbie Rowe have so she's got custody, right? Debbie
yeah,
Rowe?
she's the super white lady. That's the mother, right? Well, you know what I mean. Like
she's super white.
She's extra white, if I recall. If I, okay. I mean, I'm like just lily white, like bright
she's
sun.
Like, she's Tea Party rally white.
That's pretty good. Yes, she is Tea Party white. E.T.
Pale porcelain white, I guess, is where I'm going.
Extraterrestrial Online. I assume that's what E.T. Online stands for.
Right, sure, yes.
Received confirmation from Debbie Rowe, Paris Jackson's mother, that Jackson attempted to commit suicide. She told E.T. Online that Jackson has a lot going on lately. A source close to Jackson confirmed to US Magazine that the teenager was rushed to the hospital due to a suicide attempt, saying that she struggled with depression. A 911 call from Paris Jackson's residence reported an overdose Wednesday morning. She also tried to cut her wrist with a meat cleaver, which is it's pretty blunt force, man. Woof.
Jeez.
So, I feel really bad for those kids. Who's the other one? Blanket?
Prince, actually, I think is the...
Oh, I thought he went... Oh, you know what I'm thinking of?
Michael Jackson did have a kid that he called Blanket, but I think his name was Prince Michael. Like, he had two... Oh, maybe I'm getting this wrong, but I want to say he had two kids, one named Prince Michael and the other one just named Prince, and then Paris.
And Paris, but one of them he called Blanket for a while.
Yes, one of them was called... There was a Blanket that I don't think is his official name, but I think is...
I just wondered if the reality had been supplanted by some joke on South Park or something in my head.
Okay, yeah, actually, before Tank Girl and Cleo are confirming that, yeah, they're both sons are named Prince Michael.
That's stupid. I'm not. I mean, am I that wrong?
Prince Michael in a can.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Prince. Okay, whatever. I can't. What are you gonna do? That Michael Jackson business is just everything about all of it is just effed up.
Yeah.
The 10 most bizarrely interchangeable celebrities. Here's one for you.
What? Really? Okay.
And this is not from BuzzFeed.
Interchangeable.
Yeah.
So, I want to know what this means. So, like, you're
a dude you could just pull out and put another guy in his place.
The girl from Taken, Maggie Grace.
Oh, and right, they're
the
perfect.
The girl we got her confused with Leslie Mann or Leslie Bibb or whatever.
Bibb, I think. Right. The one from Iron Man 1.
Iron Man 1.
Iron Man. Well, here's their list: Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon. Just swap those in and out. Some say these guys say. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Could be. Michael Cera and Jesse Eisenberg.
I wouldn't say Jesse Eisenberg, especially after seeing that Now You See Me. Mm-hmm. I think Jesse Eisenberg plays the asshole so well that I question whether or not it's it's acting.
Yeah, I wonder too. I don't know.
It's
I've never
similar character in Now You See Me to how the character he played in Social Network.
He's really good in Social Network.
But I would say Michael Cera and Justin Long are more interchangeable than Jesse Eisenberg.
That's fair. You know what I wouldn't mind seeing? I wouldn't mind seeing Michael Cera in a movie where he gets to do Aaron Sorkin dialogue. I think he would be
interesting.
I'd like everyone to do Aaron Sorkin dialogue, but
yeah, right.
I think he'd be great. Still haven't seen Adventureland. I meant to. Natalie Portman and Keira Knightley. She was literally a stand-in for her in Star Wars Episode II, I want to say.
Oh, really? Keira Knightley was?
Yeah, she was the person who was supposedly Queen Amidala, but then got killed on the launching pad or whatever. She was like the queen's stand-in. So she was in that movie playing the queen's double.
Okay.
Because she looked so much like her, so that one's almost not fair. But yeah, I guess whatever.
No, I think I really like Natalie Portman in just about everything she does, especially, I mean, going all the way back to the professional.
With Lee, what's his name?
Jean Reno.
Yes,
was so good.
Gerald Butler. Gerald, mm-hmm. How do you say it?
Gerald.
Harold, is the G silent?
Gerald. No, it's Gerald.
Gerald Butler.
Gerald Butler.
And Clive Lohan. Just kidding. Clive Owen.
Really interchangeable, I guess.
I don't know. Okay. Some of this stuff is crap.
I guess I don't know what they mean. Like, all right, you could just take any of their movies and plop one in for the other.
I think that's what they're saying. But then in some cases, I think it's just they look like each other. Like the big one they have on this list is Javier Bardem and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Mm-hmm. Well, they just look a lot alike.
They do look a lot alike, yeah.
But they're nothing like each other otherwise. Their acting styles, the one guy's got a thick accent, the other one doesn't. I like both those guys, though, a lot.
Oh, Gerard. I think we were saying Gerald. It's Gerard Butler.
It's not Gerald Sorry, Butler. Cleo. Yeah, I knew it was Gerard. What was I saying? That's it. That's all we got.
That's a weird list. Let's talk. Cracked your no BuzzFeed.
Let's talk about Pete Rose before
let's
we get
about,
to Wendy.
Let's talk about baseball players who are exiled from the game.
All right.
So this is our last spot for Pete Rose. PeteRose.com, designed by yours truly recently here, just finished up, and I'm actually getting ready to start on GailSayers.com pretty soon, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Pete Rose, one of the most accomplished baseball players in the history of the game. He's the hit king with 4,256 hits to his name, 21 Major League and National League records, and of course the controversy, the exile, the banishment from the game that still plagues him today. It keeps him out of the Hall of Fame, which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. It's stupid.
Here's the thing that a lot of people don't know. Pete Rose never bet against his team. So there was no way that he could actually throw the game and cause his team to lose and him to win the bet. So it was always he always bet on his team to win, which, hey, you know, that's admirable. That's honor right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Even a Klingon could support that one. So let's celebrate the man with a gift for the sports lover in your life for Father's Day. PeteRose.com. You can use a code just for you TMS listeners. Use the code TMSDAD, that's TMSDAD 15, for a 15% discount on your order now through Father's Day. And he'll sign whatever you want, baseball caps, balls, bats, gloves. There's tons of stuff on there. Prints. Like if you just want to hang a print on the wall that's signed by Pete Rose, you can do that too. And you can have him put stuff on there like "Hi, Birdum," and "Love the show, though." And he won't know exactly why you're asking him to sign that on there, mm-hmm. but he'll do it. And he'll do it happily, and you'll get it in time for Father's Day. Go to PeteRose.com, use that code TMSDAD15, and visit today. Order today.
All right. Well, there you have it. Let's take a break. When we come back, Wendy for Therapy Thursday. She'll be here to talk to us. In the meantime, let's break things up with a little musical interlude.
Sounds good to me. This one comes from Matt, a.k.a. Grimm in AIE. He says, "Hello, slaw and brisket. There comes a time in a man's life where his wife says to him, 'It's easier for you to have it done than me.' And so with those words, I've scheduled a blockade for the baby batter on Friday, June 7th. And since we all know that a blockade can only mean one thing, I'd like you to invade my ear holes and give my boys a send-off with Bree Sharp's cover of The Boys of Summer."
Oh, man.
Nice choice there.
Great.
"And thank you for your awesome show. And although I may not have a huge appetite following the procedure, I will continue to stick your show in my cheese and melt it. Thanks."
Whoa.
Matt, a.k.a. Grim, AIE.
Okay. Good deal.
Yeah. Oh. You and I have both had that done, haven't we?
Yeah. Both of us.
I've had it done.
Yeah. Many times. One time.
Many times?
One time.
Did it not take?
It didn't take. Got to go back next week.
They found a way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yes, The Boys of Summer by Bree Sharp. This one comes from where does it come from? It comes from her CD, More BS, which is a great name for CD. It's a cover of the song by Don Henley. And the ode to summer and baseball, and apparently,
and also Miami Vice. As far as I'm concerned, it was always on there. You know,
right?
Crockett and Tubbs flying around town with that going on in the background. All right, well, here it is. It's The Boys of Summer. Wendy will be the girl of summer, and winter is coming. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. One, two, three.
head, so don't look back. You can never look back. I thought I knew what love was, but did I know? Those days are gone forever. I should just let them go. But I can see you, your brown skin shining in the sun. You got the top pulled down.
Clip full of hair and style a new way, the fast way in big, big sections. These gigantic loops can be sprayed inside, but you need Adorn. It's water-free, dries fast. Now, tremendous bangs. Only Colossals can clip them without ridges. Spray, and hooray, a colossal hairdo. It'll hold up to twice as long because you did it with water-free Adorn.
She has a bobby.
Can't spell the morning stream without remonstrating. This is the morning stream.
I don't know if he means you can't spell it without remonstrating, as that's an action that you take.
No, he means you can't spell it without using those letters.
Okay, got it.
It's like you can't spell, there's no I in team or...
Because I never remonstrate. I don't even know what that
spell,
would be.
You can't spell amusement without semen or something.
Right. That's for sure.
Right.
Wait, I think I'm still confused. Okay. Hey,
really?
Everyone. No, I'm not. I'm kidding. Hey, everybody. It's us. We're back, and it's time for Wendy. Get mm-hmm. her in here and talk about some hard stuff today. Okay? Not too hard, but not too soft. Just right. She was exuberant about the email yesterday, so I have
really, yeah, like, she, really looking forward to talking about this.
Yeah,
huh?
It seemed to be like she, her comment to me was like, "Oh no, this is great," because I was like, "We don't have to do this, and if you don't want to," as I was being all overly protective about it and
hello,
that sort of thing. Hello, Wendy.
Sorry, I hung up on you.
That's all right. I enjoyed it. I saw it go away, and I went, "I'll just try that again." It's Wendy. Well, that laugh was weird. You sounded like me for a second. That was weird.
I do?
Yeah.
It's because I'm tired and lost my voice.
Why'd you lose your voice? What happened?
I played tennis for 2 hours in the sun yesterday, and then I sat through 3 hours of baseball games, wow. And so I'm blaming it on that.
You know, like, we can't. With our delicate white skin, we're not supposed to do that.
I know. We are Scandinavian.
We are. We are. We are.
Expose that skin. No way.
We are cancer victims just waiting to happen here in the
Johnson. Her voice boxes, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's good. Look at you all active and stuff. That's fantastic.
As if I'm not normally.
Well, you always, you know, she's always running some half marathon or doing some triathlon or something. So putting the rest of us to shame. Good job on that. I do have a recommendation. If you have a standing desk, everyone out there listening. Mm-hmm. The best shoes I've found to stand at your standing desk, if you're going to have shoes, Keens. And specifically, these are Keen sandals.
Hmm.
Like full on, just like sun, you know, like you'd wear in the summer, pair of sandals. So comfortable. Like,
really?
It's a day and night compared to any other shoe I've worn at the standing
desk.
I'm
barefoot on a really, really nice gel mat that that I think Andreas recommended.
Yeah, and I have that too. So I'm kind of doubling up here, but it feels great. So if you're wondering, little pro tip for you. All right, Wendy.
I was really wondering.
I'm going to throw one other thing in there.
Okay, go ahead.
Get your toolbox or something of the similar height and put it in front of where you're standing so you can elevate one foot or the other.
Oh, yeah, so you can alternate and move back and forth, yeah. Or
I mean, we're ghetto. We use a toolbox.
You just got a toolbox, Scott.
I did. I got a box full of tools that I don't know the origin of and why I got them. Still don't know what the hell's going
on
there.
Or what they're for.
Really, really weird. Well, all right. It's Wendy Dunford. She's my sister. She's also a therapist, and she deals with people all the time who have problems and stuff. And this email, when I sent it yesterday, I just thought, oh, dude, I don't know about this one. We'll see what Wendy says. So I'm actually kind of excited because you're like, yeah, no, it'd be great with a big smiley face. And that was before all the tennis, probably.
I honestly don't know if you have yet to send one where I'm like, no, that's...
You know, you haven't. I don't think you've ever turned one down. So I just thought this one seemed a little, I don't know, this one seemed hard. But we don't have the person's name, so it's not like we're dragging them to, you know, any kind of exposure here or whatever. But let's get right to it. Here's how it goes. Dear the Morning Stream, I would like to preface this by saying I don't see myself as a sexual deviant or a pervert. Brian, did you write this? No, I'm just kidding.
No, because I do see myself as a sexual deviant and a pervert.
All right, perfect. Right.
Careful when I say that.
Perfect. I would like to ask Wendy to give some advice about the bend of my effect of the bend of my attraction. That's an interesting way of saying that. I have a 25-year-old cousin who most would say is attractive, but for me it's something different. I constantly have very strong feelings of just wanting to sleep with her. Oh my gosh. I'm not even comfortable saying these things to my sister. On the outside, we have a friendly relationship, nothing untoward. I don't know what that means. Untoward? I've never heard that before.
You haven't?
No, nothing untoward? Was that
nothing offensive or nothing.
Nothing acted out or whatever. I get it.
You need to read more, dude.
I guess. None of my books have that. Where Stephen King, get on the stick. What are you doing?
Oh gosh.
Put untoward in your books more. But on the inside, I'm in turmoil. It is very important to point out that I'm not physically attracted to her, which I think is a weird... This is the part that threw me off. In fact, every time I think about it, I am immediately feeling sick to my stomach. For me, it is a forbidden fruit, the thing I could never have. I would like to also point out that nothing has ever happened outside of my own head. The problem is what's going on inside my head and the fact that I can't control thinking about it. I would like Wendy's help if there's any available, with different ways or steps I could take in severely reducing or eliminating the things that go on inside my brain. I know this all sounds disturbing. Believe me, it's disturbing to me too, but I suppose it's better to get help for it than live in constant agony, shame, and defeat. I honestly don't know, let's see, where all this is coming from. As I am in a very loving and comfortable relationship, I have a good job and plenty of friends. This is the one aspect of my life I can't control. That I can't get past. Any help in this would be wonderful. And please, if you don't mind, include whether or not you think I should consult permanent help or, you know, somebody somewhere where they go on a regular thing. So it sounds like, I mean, I assume this is just the cousin deal. It's not like it's a bunch of people because that's all they've mentioned here. And we don't actually know the gender here, do we? We don't. Oh, no. I'm going to assume... Yeah, we don't know because we don't even know if the cousin. We don't even know the cousin's gender. Not that that would even matter, but in this case, we don't know. So,
well, yeah, we said physically attracted to her. So,
does it say her?
The cousin is a her. Yeah.
Where does it say her?
A first sentence of the second paragraph.
I'd like to. I have a second. Oh, of the second paragraph. Oh, you're right. There's a her. All right, so we're gonna assume this is a dude. It could be a lady, but we're gonna assume a dude.
Sure,
probably a dude.
Statistically speaking, probably a dude. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not offensive. Nobody can hate that. Nobody can send me emails for that. So where do you even start with this? This seems
First of all, let's just all acknowledge Scott's a little nervous about this.
Yes, I'm a little nervous about this. I am a little nervous about this. And you
he's
know,
like, I don't know what the word untoward means. What's that mean?
I remember look, and I know this isn't that unusual. I remember my cousin, what was her name? Lynn's daughter, the one around my age. Oh, Kelly. Remember Spoiled Kelly?
I don't know.
Kelly. Dad's side. Kelly. I used to think when I was, I was like 8 or 9. Okay. So I was a little kid. But I had like a little kid crush on my own cousin then. I remember we hung out all the time. It was great. She was wonderful. We're going to get married one day. I mean, we're eight. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. now that quickly dissipated and went away immediately when it, you know, puberty set in. You were like, oh, cousin, what? You know, like that was never an issue. But so I kind of can relate on this like kid level. And I'm not saying there's anything crazy or weird about this anyway. I'm not judging, but I don't really have a feel for this. So I'm nervous about it because it's untested territory.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there's this fun thing we have built into our systems, most of us anyway, called the incest bias, which is why he's saying he, I'm assuming, gets sick to his stomach when he thinks about this, because it's a built-in genetic barrier so that we don't mate with our same genetic code and have babies with one arm,
right?
You know,
right? There's one arm babies. What good are they? Jeez.
Right. We basically it's a necessary natural phenomenon so that we're not screwing up the species and then we all die.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we see it a lot in the animal kingdom. They have there's similar things, you know, whatever, based on smell, whatever. Anyway, so most people have that built in. And I'm looking at this situation, and it's not like he's attracted to his cousins and his mother and his sister, you know, and that the whatever genetic thing is missing for him.
Right.
It sounds more like, say, an Arrested Development George Michael thing.
Kind of like him and maybe, got it.
Yeah, okay. A little bit. Kind of like he's... And take your example with Kelly. So maybe there is at some point he's having good experiences with his cousin and he feels fondness for her and they're close. And during certain parts of his development, and then she's still attractive, or he has kind of fueled that fantasy into puberty and made it more of a sexual thing. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of stuck. If there is no other place, I mean, he describes himself. He's like, I don't consider myself being deviant really in any way. Mm-hmm. And here is this one thing. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, you know, if you sit people down, which I do a lot, I sit them down and I say, you know, what's the one thing you would never tell anyone at a party? And they tell me, you know, mm-hmm. There's a lot more fantasy deviance going on that people are just never going to admit. And part of what happens, and I'm going to assume this with him.
Or ever manifest, right? Like, that's an important point.
You hope,
this.
Anyway.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's
right. act on it.
I assume so. I mean, I've had fantasies about pushing. I've had a fantasy about pushing an old lady off the Space Needle. I'm not going to do it.
Right. See, it's really? The shadow thing
well,
again.
Next week on Therapy Thursday, let's talk about that.
We have an email from someone who shoves. Yeah. No, perfect. But that again, back to what we talked about last time about the shadow. It's sort of like the shadow has this, Jung would turn over in his grave if he heard my description of this, but it'll manifest itself in very different ways for different people. And we tend to have maybe the way that, it comes to us maybe naturally, or we make it worse by, shoving it down or trying to hide it even more. So apparently you and I have a like shove people over who are weak. Or watch them fall and laugh, mm-hmm. or trip children, or knock plates out of people's hands. And, you know, the average person would hear that and be like, ha ha, that's funny. And not think, wow, you deviant, let's put you in jail. Mm-hmm. And so our level of hiding is pretty minimal with that part of the shadow. Yeah. Whereas someone who is like, well, I kind of want to sleep with my cousin. Mm-hmm. He's not going to tell anyone because we have major social stigma around that.
Right.
And so that part of his shadow is going to be, you know, suffocated within himself. And then obviously he's not going to talk to other people about it. So he asked the question at the end, you know, should I get help for this? And the answer is yes. And it's not because you're going to go uncontrollably go sleep with your cousin and ruin your life and mm-hmm. ruin hers and everyone's going to hate you. Mm-hmm. That's not the real problem. The real problem is holding it all in and sort of feeding, it's like feeding the shadow extra dinner, you know, right. And just getting it out, processing it. Trust me, there is no therapist who hasn't heard at least this once or twice.
Right.
So that's really It's something that he could just process and it will get better just by talking about it. I guarantee he wrote that email. And now that we're talking about it, he's probably crapping his pants listening to us like, oh my God.
They're talking about my email, Bo.
Yeah, because it is so well protected. And, you know, I'm assuming all of this, but the power of just telling it to somebody and having a non-judgmental response, which is what he'll get if he goes to a good therapist, mm-hmm. will relieve the pressure that's on it and reduce some of that attraction.
Has me ask you this. What response does he get if he goes to a bad therapist? And the reason I ask that is...
Because that's a risk, yeah.
I hate that risk. That risk sucks. Because okay, in our current system of medical whatever, in any kind of doctor, let alone therapy, but just any of them, it's such a freaking shot in the dark, man. It's like, this guy will be the best oncologist ever for my cancer-ridden wife or whatever. And it turns out that guy's a dope. It doesn't help anybody with anything. You just, how do you know? So they always say, well, get second opinions, but that guy is a pretty good manipulator and has guilted you into thinking his method is the, you know, like maybe I'm overthinking it, but I hate finding healthcare professionals. This is a whole different conversation, obviously, but how does he know if it's a good therapist? Like if he goes in with this specific issue and brings it up in a session, what are the signs that he's got the right ear for this particular venting?
Well, and I, it depends on how, I mean, the fact that he emailed it at all tells me it's not so closed up. He can't even admit it to himself. Right. Like some people might have. And what I would personally do is I would sort of vet people by asking around, finding a list of names, you know, maybe calling and sort of interviewing people on the phone. If you can't talk to them comfortably on the phone, probably not a good fit. You don't have to tell them any of this yet, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had multiple clients once they sort of feel like, okay, I can be comfortable with her. I can tell her what I really think. Then it's session two or three where they tell me what it's really about. Mm. And it's because they, you know, they just need to feel safe before that happens. And part of that is understanding how confidentiality works, what it is they will report and not report, so that, you know, you're hearing it from their mouth, kind of their style, but you're also getting a sense of them. And that sucks because that requires your time, your commitment, getting in, making those appointments. You know, it's sure. hard. There's no other way around it though, because what you're actually mimicking is human connection, and it's not mimic, but you have to find it. But it's so artificial, right? It's like, I'm finding this random person and trying to see if I connect with you. And that's not how we normally do it. We meet someone at a party and we connect and, oh, that's magical. Or you know someone for years and trust them. So it's a very foreign way to do it in some regards. But the anonymity of the person is really pretty powerful because you can then be fully honest without that dual relationship of, okay, when I see you at the school fundraiser, you're going to be like, that dude's in love with his cousin, you know?
All right. Like people are going to be able to see it.
Totally. And so it's a really valuable process. It's just that initial part's pretty tricky. And that's why, I mean, this is my theory, is why it takes people so long to get help. And they tend to have so many layers of damage already done that then they're in there forever. And so if we could just reduce some of the stigma, like here's your hairdresser, here's your therapist, here's your gardener. Right. Like, and rich people are really good at this because they're already used to have, you know, I pay someone to do this. I think for most of us who are like fixing our own kitchen sinks, we're like, I can do this. I don't need anybody. Yeah. And they wait a little bit too long. So I would say just, it will relieve some of the pressure valve of this is so wrong and this is, you know, whatever. And they'll have techniques for him to try to address, you know, certain elements, and he has his own story. There's a backstory to this. This is not just like your Kelly story. If you were attracted to your cousin now, well, we could go back to when you were nine and be like, okay, well, there are these things happening, and then connect it to different developmental things. And so he really needs someone to kind of do it with him step by step. And this sounds pretty straightforward. He may think like, this is not straightforward. but it is.
Is it going to be simply like visualization? Like every time you see your cousin now, just imagine she's covered in horse diarrhea and then this will go away. Like,
wow.
Well,
I mean, that's a little extreme, but you know, is it that kind of stuff where you have to literally think of her differently every time you see her or something? Or
Well, if you want to feel like you're normal, right. Go to a Wikipedia page called List of Paraphilias.
Okay.
And that horse diarrhea is actually probably on that list.
Ah, dang it. They always have something. These people with their ideas.
Page 19 right there.
You would really, really surprised at some of the things.
Yeah.
There's things you've seen in movies, right? But there's like...
Well, I've never seen this horse diarrhea thing in a movie.
Yeah. Well, there's a poo one for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a lot of there's a lot of attraction sexual stuff that is what is considered deviant. And deviant means, you know, outside of the norm.
Yeah, sure.
And interestingly, I mean, I think this is kind of more an intellectual part of the discussion, but, you know, legal ramifications of some of this stuff. I mean, there's a reason that it's so secretive for people is there's so much shame wrapped around being different.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge comes when anyone's attraction is outside the law, it impacts somebody else. So you can have your shoe fetish or your poop fetish or whatever it is in the privacy of your own home.
Right.
And if it's not harming someone else, you know, whatever. But when it involves other people, which unfortunately is some of the attraction issues for people. Maybe it's
right. The attraction is that you're up to something that society has banned or doesn't like or doesn't want you to do. Or
I mean, I think there's plenty of people doing that. Just it's the ones that involve non-consenting adults that you can get really in trouble with.
And obviously, so.
So there's all of that, but I think in some ways, I think when you look at the list of paraphilias, you're like, okay, if there's a list, you know, that means there's more than two people doing that.
Right.
And so in some ways it might be normative to read it if you're wondering, like, am I a pervert?
Yeah.
You'll read it and go, wow, I'm not compared to that.
Yeah.
And that's human nature too. We have a little bit of the hierarchy of perversion or hierarchy of I'm better than you. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you're into that. Well, at least I'm only into that or whatever it is.
Right. It's like watching Cops. I'm not on the car dancing with meth in my face in my underwear. And so I'm different than you. Got it.
Yeah, I'm better than that. However, the other common experience is I am the only one who has been attracted to my cousin, even though in theory he's got to know, right? Like that's a theme in TV shows, which comes from real life or go to somewhere in the South and there might be some cousins married to each other, you know, whatever. Just kidding, South.
Or Winterfell.
I love you.
Yeah, or Winterfell. That's fine. That works.
King's Landing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, any of those places. So,
I mean, there's a reason there's laws on the books also about not marrying because it's part of it is that there is maybe not the strong sense of incest bias, which is partly why it's weird for you to talk to me on the phone about this.
Yeah, it is weird.
And it's weird for parents to talk to their kids about sex and kids to talk to their parents about sex. It's like, this is not
well,
okay.
With you, I'd rather go, hey, it's politics and, neighbors doing weird stuff or, you know, whatever. But the minute I got to talk to Wendy about stuff like that, I feel like it is like sitting down with mom or something and going, Mom, tell me about your senior sex. How's that going for you? You know, I don't ever want to do that ever. So here's the question. Here's an additive question.
Okay.
I'm 100% sure you were talking about how people harbor not fantasies, but ideas pop into their head that they'd never act on or never even think about again. Or it's just like sometimes they even come in and you're just like, what was that? Right. Like it's not even you actively trying to come up with these ideas. But I guarantee that this has happened. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but I'm 100% sure that at some point, at some time, let's just use you as an example, one of your in-laws, one of the men who have married into the family have looked at you. And I'm talking about somebody outside of the family, someone who's married in. Someone's looked at Wendy and said, well, she's very attractive. But now they're kind of related. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like they've found you attractive or somebody sometime, possibly in my lifetime, somebody has said this about me. I can't imagine who or what the circumstances would have been, but somebody somewhere.
I would like them to write in.
Yeah. Who is that who thought I was attractive? But somebody did.
Admit it.
And went, I can't be thinking that because this is a person I'm now related to. And then here's even a better question. So I was teasing Carter the other day, or this is probably a few months ago. And she was talking about, Dad, all the boys are jerks at school. The only friends I like are kind of nerdy, blah, blah, blah. We're having this big conversation about how boys are kind of jerky in her high school and that age is hard and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you could always marry your cousin Thatcher. They're not, you guys aren't even related. Yeah. And I said that as a joke because he is, my sister is Korean, no blood relation, Misha, and her husband is not related to me at all. So their offspring, Thatcher, is 100% unrelated by blood and generations and race and everything from my, well, I guess she's half white or he's half white, but he is completely unrelated in every possible way. Yet that is still freaky. And she punched me in the arm 6 times and said, gross, Dad, gross, and ran into the other room. even though in this particular case, unlike this other cousin we're talking about from this listener, he is not related to her.
Well, there's still the stigma attached.
Right. So that's my question. How much of it is truly stigma and social norm versus genetic tendency or genetic preservation or, you know what I'm saying? Maybe this is a dumb question, but.
No, it's a great question. And I'm sure research on it and I don't know exactly the answer to that, but I would think, I think your original start of your story is an important one. And that is, we're going to be attracted to a lot of people and a lot of things in our life. And we have a storyline that is, once you are committed in a committed relationship, like, you have no eyes for anyone else, right? And that should be the thing. Well, that's just not human. And it kind of boils down to self-control or the superego to some extent. So the superego, Freudianness would be, you know, we all follow the collective rules. There's all the social, the stigma comes from there. All of those overarching bigger picture things that say you don't kill anyone else and you follow the speed limit and you don't marry your cousin. And, you know, a lot of those superego things have fluctuated a little bit. I mean, with homosexuality, that's evidence of one that's fluctuated in the sexual arena. A lot for many people. There's definitely those who it's not fluctuated at all. They still, you know, mm-hmm. have stigmatized that. So that's an example of how we collectively agree a little bit about something or not, right? Yeah. So you're not attracted to your cousin. That's part of it. That's why this guy's writing in, is there's the superego issue around it. And Carter obviously has very well felt that same thing. And that's why she punched you 6 times.
Right.
And
hard too, might add. She's strong.
Yeah, she is strong.
She can seriously throw a punch.
So I think it's a combination of both. And then I think that is why someone who's maybe the genetic stigma thing maybe isn't as strong has the social stigma. That's why this is the writer in. He's going, you know, I know. I've read the collective agreement that we don't love our cousins. But I still have these feelings.
Right.
And so your question then speaks to this idea of being able to, of the fantasy idea. And I think, I mean, this, we're not going to talk about video games, I realize, but we have a built-in component of us that fantasy, imagination, projecting scenarios in the future, mm-hmm. all of those things are just part of our human condition. And it's part of what makes life, you know, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But it also can really harm people. Anxiety is a form of this, where mm-hmm. you are picturing a future scenario that's terrible. So that skill that has created like fantastic, beautiful movies and artwork and, you know, made life worth living in so many cool artistic ways is also the one that can create or perpetuate fantasies of whether it's fear, anxiety, you know, death, keeps people not leaving their house, to sexual fantasies that going untapped eventually might lead someone to acting out mm-hmm. and being.
Seems like the least functional. It's the one of the most important human things. And it's one of the ones with the most busted stuff in it. You know, it's like having, I don't know, it's like buying a car and the engine is awesome, except it sometimes does crazy crap and almost gets us killed. That's what what this particular part of human, you know, human brain is to me. It's like I catastrophize all the time. I also make some really cool stuff. Well, I wish I could just focus on the making cool stuff and not catastrophize. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And this guy's thinking, well, wouldn't it be nice if I could fantasize about giant ice cream cones and quit thinking about my cousin?
Right.
So
let me tell you. So that whole thing, here's where he is reinforcing it. This is where the shadow plays games with us. And that is the more I refuse to acknowledge what's going on, or the more I suppress, or, you know, layer it in fear and shame and superego and all of that stuff, it's like fertilizer and it grows it. Mm. And that's where this is really tricky, because you put someone in a position of, I need to talk about this. I need to, but who do I tell? My wife? Mm-hmm. Do I tell my, I mean, I think that's why you have such a strong secrecy. I mean, when I worked with sex offenders for a long time, and, you know, the fuel was always secrecy and anonymity, which, you know, the internet gives us a huge boost of that. Mm-hmm. It used to be all sorts of effort to get to somewhere shady and do something shady, but, you know, it's now just on your phone. And that secrecy and all of that stuff is the fuel that fires it. And shame is wrapped all around that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna suggest something for everyone. This is not about sexual stuff specifically, but I have had clients do this recently and they've really enjoyed it. Go to TED Talks and find Brené Brown. Her name is Brene.
Brené, spell that one more time.
Brene, Brene.
Brene.
And she does her first one is on shame. She's a researcher about shame. And then the second one, she does a follow-up on vulnerability that's really good. So anyway, everybody watch that, because everybody has shame. Because this first of all, you have the superego, and then you also have the shadow. Those two things create our inner Freud and Jung get in fights all the time. And they create all sorts of challenges. And shame is kind of the net result of a lot of that. And when you run your life out of shame, you're going to behave so differently and act so differently and feel so differently than you would if you managed the shame. And that's why I say yes to his question. Go get somebody to help you.
Go get some help. Yeah. Why not?
And so let me tell you some other treatments that are out there.
Sure.
And some of the stuff they found, there's a study, I'm trying to see where they found, I think 2008, they took heterosexual men and then analyzed their sexual fantasies.
Yeah.
And they found that a dominant number had, who had fetishes, had older brothers.
Yeah, what the heck? What the heck is that?
I got two boys who have older brothers.
Yeah, way to go on that.
Wonder what the correlation is or what the
cause. I don't know.
That's weird.
For older brothers. They also found that they had a different ratio of, let's see, I think it's, I can't remember how they figured this out.
Bologna sandwiches.
Prenatal, more estrogen in utero.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
weird.
Women who are pregnant, chill out on the soy milk. Okay. And then they tended to be more left-handed anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. Maybe brain lateralization had something to do with that. And, of course, this is they need to do probably a billion more studies.
Yeah.
Like, this is just initial kinds of stuff. But this is men who, in theory, are just, you know, oh, I like women. I'm good, you know. Mm. But where their deviant attractions come from anyway. So that's what they're some of the stuff they're finding. So if you're left-handed – and your mom ate a lot of soy milk, and you have older brothers, you're into the horse diarrhea.
No, oh, sweet.
No, it's not a predetermination, but they're trying to figure out, you know, what the brain correlation is with all the hormonal stuff. But let me tell you what the treatments tend to be for stuff like this. Back in the day, it was chemical or surgical castration.
Oof.
Wow. And now they're using, we call it chemical castration, which is just reduce their sex drive.
Are they using just really tight rubber bands? That'll do it too.
Yeah.
Staples.
Yep.
Just to sort of lower the, and especially with in cases where there's their risk of offending others, you know, that's more of a common treatment. And then therapy and groups and, you know, all that stuff can be helpful. They've even found like contraceptives have been helpful because they lower certain things and
weird.
Blah, blah, blah.
Wait, so like also, a dude taking like a birth control pill kind of thing?
Yeah, like Depo-Provera is actually kind of this some kind of progesterone thing.
Oh, weird.
That can be helpful. Also, SSRIs are another one that reduce impulsivity. ADD meds have actually been used. Some of that stuff, yeah, to help in unwanted cases. But here's the reality is I think there are those who, you know, in treatment and getting help, they cannot manage it. They can't control it. There are medical options maybe that if it's ruining their life and their relationships, they can get help that way. I think this guy's case, it's probably not going to ruin much of his life if he could talk about it, reduce some of the pressure and power around it because it's been created as such a big thing versus what it maybe could be put in context, which is I'm attracted to 100 people. If you lined up 1,000 people, you're going to be attracted to 100 of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean they're your soulmate or you have to have sex with them. It just means that's part of human nature to be attracted. We, you know, this statistically, how are you supposed to find the one, the soulmate? I think that's the other storyline we have in the superego, which is there's one out there for you.
Yeah, you just got to find them.
Yeah. And then if you find them and then real life hits and you're like, I'm attracted to the bagger at the grocery store. Oh, crap.
Crap, I've missed my chance. Yeah, yeah.
We tend to be attracted to more than one person for good genetic reason.
Sure. The projecting of the species requires us not to have the idea of a single soulmate is ridiculous to that end. It doesn't work.
Yeah, we'd all be dead and there'd be no people. Yeah. Well, and I think too, you know, and statistically, I think it was on Radiolab, they were talking about like the likelihood of this super smart guy in Boston finding his soulmate based on like 5 criteria.
Yeah.
She's smart. She's, you know, all this stuff. And there's like the statistical significance or availability is like
0.01. Right.
So you gotta be like, it's done that way on purpose. I have a client who's Asian and she's very short and she's like, I should like short guys because they're available and they're interested in me. She's like, but my genetic code screams for height.
Wow.
She only dates tall guys.
Wow.
So anyway, there is it's a combination of a couple of things, but he definitely needs to relieve the pressure valve. It's probably less of a thing than he has made it into being. That's what the fantasy anxiety piece of this does, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Plus you got, you know, whatever baggage you come with of shaming that you've had growing up, and who knows what that history is, but if you got a lot of crap when you were younger for even thinking something, or you know, your mom caught you oogling a girl on a TV show or whatever and just laid into you for that, you may have some built-in like automatic shame mechanisms that are making this far worse in your head than at least the guilt part of it, then maybe you should ever feel or right. whatever.
And you can imagine if you've shamed a little kid so much about any sexual interest because it makes the parent uncomfortable, then, you know, that over and over again means anything you could actually over-sexualize everything because of that shame component. So that's an important thing to explore with somebody because it's possible that that is where that came from. And as soon as you see it, acknowledge it, work through it, the attraction to the cousin goes away. And you can just see her as an averagely attractive person or someone who's attractive because that's the nature of attraction. Is it doesn't necessarily, you have a type or whatever you're attracted to. Maybe you're related to someone like that. But if you've then used all these other things and taken your childhood issues and wrapped it up, now suddenly you have a crush on your cousin.
So that's what always pissed me off. See, I have the opposite problem. It's not an attraction issue. It's that Wendy got all the – I always said if I was a girl, I'd have been kind of cute. I would have been good looking. Instead, I'm kind of just like this
you're an ugly dude.
Tall, ugly dude, right. But I could have had this like – I could have been pretty if I just had been a lady. Plus, my Twitter followers would be through the roof, dude. I'd be like 600,000 Twitter followers easily
by
now. Yeah, I'd be Felicia Day of this world. Don't get me wrong. Felicia Day works her butt off and deserves everything she gets. I'm not saying anything about that. But you know what I'm saying. It's fine. I can see Misha, my sister Misha, who's what? She's like 4'2" now, whatever she is. She's tiny.
Five.
That's not fair. She's like 5 foot. But she's my Korean sister, and she takes really good care of herself. And you know what? My sister looks great, but not once do I go, sister's looking kind of hot. Hey. Oh, hey. But it's okay for me to go, Misha is very attractive, and I am proud of her for, man, she looks great. Good, you know, good for Ken, good for everybody. Your kids have a good role model and fitness and blah, 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 blah. I think he can get to that. where he can say mm-hmm. these things about his cousin and
appreciate.
Not
appreciate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's the same attraction. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it isn't the same attraction. It's maybe not fair to say, but it's a different way of seeing that attraction. Like, you want to be around that person. It doesn't mean you're like, oh, hubba hubba. I want
to get
a bucket of horse diarrhea just to carry the theme on. Anyway.
Keep the theme going. Well, I think too, it's where your mind goes. And I think this is something that's been valued less and less in society, at least the superego part of it, which is, you know, controlling the fantasy, or, you know, if everything's free game and then it's, you can see whatever you want to see and go down the rabbit hole of sexual perversion online.
Yeah.
Which in your, you know, small town in Iowa, you probably weren't doing, you know what I mean? You couldn't do previously.
Right.
I think sometimes the objectification of others, of people, of women in particular, has become a part of our culture. I mean, Vegas, we talked a little bit about, I mean, that place is one big boob and everyone is objectifying others. And I told you I went to that casino and there is a girl dancing on the table and I could not stop staring at her because of the train wreck of it all. Like, what the hell
is she doing on this table?
You
right.
You are someone's daughter, maybe a mother. Mm. Like, holy crap. Cause I saw her as a whole person and I'm thinking, is she on a substance? How can she do this?
Yeah. Things get real weird, especially in a place like Vegas. When you think of these, think of everyone in the full,
I can't think of it like that.
Yeah. If you do, it ruins it. Oh,
they're
man.
All one-sided. It's all debauchery and it's all the right. It's all the shadow, right? But if you see them as the whole rounded person,
yeah,
you want to grab
you really
her off
have
that
to objectify people there,
her, right?
Just to feel you better do. About your day, sure. Yeah.
But here's the thing about it: is everyone? No one was even looking at her,
right?
And I thought, okay, so all of you, this is nothing because she has clothes on, right? Is that what's happening?
Weird.
And then, but there, you can always go more and more extreme. And the thing is people don't necessarily, they think, oh, I want to do what I want to do and don't be moralizing about this, blah, blah, blah. This isn't moralizing. This is the ramifications of objectifying another human being is that you treat them as you do an object. And when you do that, your ability to connect is reduced. That's why, to me, sexual deviance, if you're like into whatever and it works and great, woohoo. But if you can't connect with other human beings, or you've only objectified others, or it's diminished your emotional capacity and you're miserable, well, there might be a consequence to this you need to look at. And I think we've seen a collective, I personally believe that, because every person who comes into my office, I can say, you know, tell me about your sexual history. And, you know, if they're functioning fine in that arena, it's because they're connected with their partner or they have a healthy sex life versus, you know, everyone's an object and people are treated badly. You know, there really is a divergence. So if that may not be a piece for this guy who emailed in, but I think it is for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's funny what somebody in the chat room said, what if she enjoys what she's talking about the table dancer? What if she enjoys what she's doing and is making her feel happy and fulfilled? So let's just play with that. What if, okay, let's say that that's true. And I'm not saying it isn't. I'm sure there are some people who that is what they want to be doing. So that's great. My answer to that is it isn't about that. It's not about how she feels. It's about how we feel and how we see it and how we objectify it. Right? Like, right. A, she wouldn't have a job if we all looked at her as somebody's daughter constantly or thought about what it meant to be, you know, if we were thinking about her fully as a human being and not as a sex object, which is the important point here. Then she probably wouldn't have a job because none of us would be doing this. But when it's not about her enjoying her job. It's about us objectifying her into something less than she is. Right. So I'm not saying that's her fault. I'm saying that's us. So I think that's an important thing to clarify. This isn't about taking away somebody's agency to do what they want to do.
Right.
We're talking about my ability to look at her and go, and leer at her, or my ability to go, oh, she's probably got to go pick up milk and eggs on her way home. You know, she's just like me, or, you know, see her as something more than an object of hotness or whatever.
Right. And I think, you know, whoever you are in the chat room, you're not supposed to be here, by the way, because it's just me and Brian and Scott.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to. Reminder, Wendy's talking in front of a whole bunch of people live and then later thousands
anyway,
will
let
consume
me just speak
this.
To that what third person who came uninvited. What does it say about you that that's your question? And what does it say about me that I see her as a whole person and I assume she must be on drugs?
Right.
And it, because it does tell us something about ourselves, you know, that, you know, and I'm going to assume that's a dude because, and it could be a girl maybe. But there is some interesting research on, dancers and strippers. And I mean, they are people who have been interviewed, and their use of drugs to do what they do is very high, including porn actresses, you name it. Now, is that everyone? No. But it's really common? Yes. And so I knew that walking by thinking, you know, so that came into my head. I'm also thinking, you know what, that's a woman that would be sitting in my office, and what else would I know about her? So I project all of my stuff on her, just like, you know, your chat room guy probably does, and Scott, you do. And, you know, we tend to do that. The challenge is when we objectifying other people is very different than saying, because often we're putting ourselves onto that person, are we not? I mean, objectifying is projection. I'm saying, okay, I'm seeing as a whole person, and no one's paying attention to her. And isn't dancing half naked part of getting attention? Like, and it's not working. And how, I mean, I'm feeling shame for her. Well, that's saying something about me, because I can hardly dance in a club.
Right. Fully. You couldn't do it with a coat on.
Oh, yeah, people, it's all about, there's no way. I'd have to be so high. Oh, I couldn't even do it high. There's no way. So it's all about me, right? And whoever this person, maybe it's something about them. Like, I think there needs to be, you know, whatever that might be. And so that's the cool part about knowing this concept is anytime anyone says anything, you can, if you can just stop for a second and go, huh, I wonder what that says about them. Or, you know, you don't have to figure it out, but right. You can just let them own a little bit of what they're projecting on a situation. And then you do it yourself. You'd be amazed at how often you are projecting your stuff onto somebody else. So I project all over Vegas. That place is.
Yeah. You're a walking projector in Vegas for sure.
So is everyone else. And that's the cool part, but you just have to, you know,
kind of. I like Vegas and I don't notice it as much, but when I'm there, cause I'm hustling the kids through, or I'm there with them on a trip or something, and we're in a casino and I walk by a bunch of stuff, and all I can think is, oh, Nick's 12. What are we doing? Oh, look what he's seeing. Like, suddenly my projector goes and aims at everything, you know? So it's all about where you're at, what you're doing, and what's going on. I just think it's really important to just, what you said is so key here. It's all about us seeing things through the way we're going to see them, but it's so hard and so crucial that we learn how to be able to see it the way other people see it. For example, like, who knows what this cousin, back to the original email, this cousin might think he's totally hot. And I'm not saying you do anything about that, but I'm saying, who knows? Who the hell knows anything? Until we figure out a way to read each other's brains, you just do the best you can.
Great. You're backtracking everything that Wendy's been talking about for a while.
Wait.
Scott said that she might actually be interested.
This guy's smarter than that. I'm going to give him more credit than that. But anyway, to me, it's a really interesting. I'm glad you decided to say yes to the email, because it's way more interesting than even maybe I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. And the truth is, that's the funny thing, Brian, is that as I was thinking about this and looking up stuff, I was like, I don't know. Like, what the hell is this?
Right.
And I mean, I know enough about people who act out and break the law, and it feels so much more black and white that way. Mm-hmm. But when it's not that, and they haven't, you know, it's just the attraction at the core. You know, they haven't done anything that we can say, okay, look where you went with that. You know, mm-hmm. The preventative piece of maybe that for some people, or even just that it's harmless fetishism or whatever it is. It's so tricky. But I do know the bigger parts of it, you know, the shame, the shadow, all of that stuff. That stuff you can look at, be honest with, dig into, and get help with. And that it's going to reduce overall the impact of its negative impact on you. Life. So that's the part I know. I don't know the other stuff.
Well, make sure you check out that TED Talk and try some of these things that Wendy has suggested. Specifically, see somebody. I think that would be good. This TED Talk, let's see. It's right here, actually. I'm going to play a little bit of it. No, it doesn't work. Available
it's,
on...
It's crashing because you're all watching it. TED,
everybody's all right.
TED.com. It's Brianne Brown. Just search for
Brené,
it. It's, yeah. Yeah, Brené. Brené, sorry. It shows up on YouTube as well. You can watch it in a couple places. So
So do the shame first, then vulnerability second.
Yeah, shame first.
Shame first.
Shame's always first.
Always
first nickname.
Fantastic. Wendy, always have a pleasure to have you on. Any cool things you're up to or causes that we should send people to?
Oh, I got a good one. I almost forgot. Okay. HealCourageously.org, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot. So my friend had breast cancer last year, and she's a professional photographer. She has done some amazing work. She's pretty cool. And a partner of hers have combined to start Heal Courageously, and they photograph families while they're going through treatment. It doesn't have to be just cancer, but just any serious illness. And they do these beautiful professional shoots with your families. And so it documents the time that you were sick, which I think most people think, I don't want to remember that.
Yeah,
that's it. It's .org. So yeah, healcourageously.org.
Yeah. And then, so they'll do that. And then all that stuff for free with these like incredible photographers. Anyway, it's a very cool project. And then, you know, obviously for survivors, it gives them this memory of the thing. And
yeah, and but even those who don't survive, it's like a cool, I don't know. That's pretty neat either direction. I like that.
Yeah. Cool stuff. And she's organizing right now, like a sort of a kit that you can get off her website. And I'll tell you more about it later, but like a big 1-day lemonade stand sale in like August. So just kids can, you just find a random neighbor kid and be like, put this banner up, sell some lemonade, raise some money for the project. Pretty cool.
There is constantly a lemonade stand happening in our neighborhood. So we'd be perfect for
it. Just put a banner up and tell them to donate it.
They came to our door yesterday. I'm a home worker.
Door to day lemonade sales.
Yeah, I thought, oh, hey, there's UPS at the door. So I ran upstairs to grab it. And these three little kids, and I know them all. I know all their parents and stuff. And they go, do you want to have lemonade? And they're like six. And I go, oh, I'd love some. And they go, okay. And they ran all the way down to where their stand was. And they're fumbling them all over themselves. I'm watching them fill this glass up. And they come running back over. And I gave them a whole dollar. And they all just about crapped themselves. I thought it was the greatest day of their lives. So maybe we could do some good by adding that to their
door-to-door lemonade sale.
Yeah, no, they belong on the street.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. Signs for a reason.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, don't go. They were very forward-thinking businesswomen, but
that's so cute.
It was really cute. Anyway, Wendy's always good to talk to you. Have a great week. Hope your voice comes back. Go play some more tennis, and I'll see you probably sometime soon for some sort of family thing. Who knows.
Okay.
All right. Bye now. See you later. Okay. Oh, there she goes. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I've clarified my stance on the whole. I have zero judgment for, a stripper. She wants to be a stripper. Great. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little bit goofy to say, because again, no problem for that. Go for it. Do whatever you want. But it's goofy to sit around going, maybe she loves it. Maybe it's the best thing. Well, okay, I guess I can guess maybe she loves it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You
I'm
don't
sure
know either is the point.
It, but, yeah.
Somebody somewhere does, but I statistically speaking, here's what my gut says, and my gut is sometimes right. Not always, sometimes. My gut says they get objectified by everybody. When they get too old for it, they're thrown out like trash. Mm-hmm. They're treated badly. They end up in bad places. There's a lot of substance abuse. Statistically speaking, not all of them, but bunches of them are in bad situations. And all I'm arguing is that I don't need to be the douchebag who's going to try to act out on my weird fantasies over somebody who I'm treating purely as an object.
Right.
That's
right.
All. And maybe it's because I've had daughters and that makes a difference.
I think it does.
You think
it
about it a
does.
Lot, you know, and you know what? Having boys, and I know you and I have talked about this. Having boys makes it weird too, because we're thinking about how they are potential douchebags.
Yes. Yes. You don't want them to grow, you know, to see this objectification of women. You don't want to see it in movies. You don't want to see it in TV, whatever. Yeah. And you don't want to foster that sort of thing.
Yeah. I'm not like Autograph Cat and others in the chat room. I'm not calling you guys out and saying,
is Autograph Cat a stripper? Is Rob Wynn a stripper?
Yeah, dude. Have you not seen it? First, it comes off the fedora, then the tie, then that suit coat.
Then the suit jacket, right?
No, I am not calling you guys out at all. I just think it's an interesting conversation to have. And I'm the first guy to say, hey, if you're not hurting somebody, go for it. Whatever you want to do in life, that's your thing. Mm-hmm. You got to be realistic.
And keep in mind that the not hurting somebody also includes yourself, though. So, I mean, if you're... Right. If you're causing something that you know down the line is going to be traumatic and and horrible for you, then you got to watch out just as if you were hurting somebody else.
Ah, well, see, then here we are. I agree with you 100%. We've made all the sense in the world. We're done. Let's get out of here. Before we do, though, real quick, a reminder that the Nerdtacular t-shirts are available up on the site. You can buy them if you're not going. If you are going, you can actually get them free, picked up for free. You need to use the code N13SHIP, and that will get it so that you don't have to pay shipping, and you can pick them up right there at the you know what's N13PICK.
N13PICK is for...
Sorry.
I'm not saying that.
It changed.
It
used to be SHIP. It's now PICK.
Okay. I was looking at the show.
Isn't it PICK, Dave? Dave, you listening? Make sure confirm here. Is it PICK?
PICK.
Shite. I think I forgot to write it in here. I'm pretty sure it's PICK. If Dave's in the chat room, he'll confirm this or not.
I don't know if he's in the chat room. I haven't seen...
He may not be this morning. This is going to be stupid if I'm wrong. Anyway, I'm going to have a post up on Nerdtacular.com with all the right details here soon. I'm so much going on, I forget these things. But anyway, N13 pick, I believe, is the free pickup. And then N13 deal is for anybody who wants to save $2 per shirt. So if you're ordering a shirt and you're not able to come to the event, but you want to get one, save $2 on every shirt you buy. And that includes everything in the store, not just the Nerdtacular stuff. But you can get the official Nerdtacular 2013 tee. You can get the Tadpool t-shirt made by Matt Sargent, regular in the Tadpool, amazing artist. You can also get the extra special frog pants crossover NSFW mashup shirt. That's in there.
Right, the little silhouette. I love that one.
Pretty good. And the extra special Scott signed my boob at Nerdtacular shirt, which you can wear there, and I will literally sign your boob. Well, I will sign the shirt where the space says sign it.
Cleo says that N13 Objectify coupon code sends you and I to Las Vegas for $2 at the strip clubs.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Okay.
I had a couple emails. I'm going to save these for Monday. Okay. I'm going to give our winner out now, though. You ready?
Yes.
For the, winner.
Two tickets. This is one winner, two tickets.
Yep. Big
so
winner.
This is who you need to sidle up to, by the way, if you want to go to Nerdtacular and they don't have somebody already going with them.
All right.
This is who you got to suck up to.
You're going to want to be big friends with the following person. The big winner of our two tickets, randomly chosen from all the entries sent over the last week. And there were hundreds of you. I'm a little bit surprised how many people still want to come and didn't get tickets. It makes me think next year we're going to have to open that up bigger. But anyway, Brooks Whitford. Heir to the Bradley Whitford West Wing fortune. Brooks Whitford, are the huge winner. Congratulations. I've got your email. I'll send you the appropriate details on how you can redeem a code that will get you the two tickets reserved. And we are looking forward to seeing you at Nerdtacular. Thank you, everybody who entered. And I apologize that not all of you could win. But I'm very happy that Brooks Whitford was able to walk away with his two free tickets. I assume it's a man. Brooks is that could be a girl, though, couldn't it?
It could be, sure.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Brooke.
Yeah, Brooks out there.
You know, Brooks out there, you know, just named Brooke.
But multiple
our
Brooks?
Our friend Andrew just married one. As a matter of fact, by the way, this just in. Andrew is going to have some very special singing guests for his set.
No
at Nerdtacular 13, yeah. So I'm not going to say anything more than that because the vocalists are going to be a surprise, but...
Wow.
That'll be coming up.
Am I familiar with who these people are? Do I know?
Yes.
Okay.
You know the singers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I'm excited. That's Brooks Whitford. Congratulations.
Brooks Whitford is not going to be singing.
No, not singing. No. Oh, yeah. By accepting these tickets. You promised to sing. I really like today's Therapy Thursday. Tell your friends about the show. I think people would really get a kick out of this stuff. So if you've got friends who don't listen and you think they might enjoy it, pass it on. All right, Brian, let's get the hell out of here and say that we finished a week of shows.
All right.
Before we do, you know what? I'm going to do Tallywhacker first. I'm going to start doing her early.
Yeah. Oh, before the essentials.
Yeah, because I don't know why I do that. I don't know why
it fits. It fits better.
Fits better. That sounds like the general on West Wing, but it was Fitzwater. General Fitzwater, not Fitz better. All right, Cleo.
Wow. Weird rabbit hole there.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. Weird connection, but I was somehow able to find it. All right, here we go. Play this. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Hey, Cleo, what's up?
Left-handed redhead with older brothers who love soy milk. Hi.
Are you left-handed?
Yes, I have older brothers.
And you like soy milk? Do you have a hot cousin?
I dig the soy milk. No,
okay.
I don't.
All right, good. Well, then you're fine. You don't have to worry.
Not that I'm aware of, but this is Missouri. Yeah. Okay.
But you do have buckets of refrigerated horse diarrhea in the basement fridge.
Shh, that's next to the router.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, so you've come to us with points. Who has won the day?
Today, the tadpole was on fire. Okay, everyone was talking about you falling apart, Scott. Old Man Johnson's stuff, crappy, degrading carcass can predict the weather. It was fun.
Feeling so much better now, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. Mark in Florida said in a Packlet voice, Scott is broken. You will fix him.
All right. Make him go is what he should have said.
Yes. Our make favorite friend, Andreas Ekberg, decided that the new TMS sponsor should be AARP.
Okay. Nice. Boy, I'm glad that's got so much play early in the show. Fantastic.
We've also, Voldair decided Scott's just a couple $1,000 man. He's not really $1 million guy.
All right.
And let me see. I'm just going to go through these. I'm going to trust that the tadpole can reassociate them with different things. Right. Iowan says Box of Tools is my One Direction cover band.
All right.
During the Trek Nerd segment, Maleficent said Big Bushy Bob is my wrestling nickname.
All right.
I also thought that if you're a woman, it's a good wrestling move.
Oh, yeah.
I give him the Big Bushy Bob, yeah.
Yep. Tharin was right. I know that there are no other Italian restaurants named, you know, that begin with SB, but spaghetti sounds pretty good. Yeah. It all sounds the same.
Biscotti. Yeah.
Spaghetti.
Yeah.
The Boston Bombers' parents, according to Rox, are from Douchebagistan.
Okay.
And Grizzly Willie, what the hell? Yeah. Finished out the day by saying that Super White Lady is, ironically, his Michael Jackson cover band.
Of course it is. Nice job. Cleo, man, you really rattled him today. Nice job on that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Don't go stripping. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. All right, Brian, now I can do this stuff.
Please do that now.
AlphaGeekRadio.com provided our shoutcast stream. Support them at AlphaGeekRadio.com. Scott Fletcher did our voice work. T-shirt available at /loot.com. Don't forget to use that code and save a little money there, which was what? N13 deal. Save $2.
Oh, N13 deal.
Even on a TMS shirt. You can save
really
that
just
$2.
Pick a random four-letter word, put it after N13, and see what you get.
Yeah, put in N13 fart.
Furt.
Yeah, furt. I wonder where that gets you.
See what you get.
Let's see. Scott Fletcher, thanks so much. I already mentioned him, so I won't mention him again or a third time. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website to go to. By the way, Scott Fletcher at N13, if you've wanted to meet that man, the man behind that voice, this is your chance. And
nice.
Why would you want to miss out on that? Things like this. He'll say that for you right while he's there. What else? Facebook.com/TheMorningStream. Email us at TheMorningStream@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can find us at MorningStream. Scott Johnson and Coverville. Let's go out with a bang. What's the song? What are we doing?
Let's do a some bagpiper. Well, not bagpipe, but some Irish reels and jigs. This one says, hello, Stinkor and Beast Man. On June 8th, I will have completed my 31st dizzying ride around the sun. However, this pales in comparison to the fact that June 10th marks the 7th anniversary of the day I married my best friend and the love of my life, Tinkerbell. I'd like to request an awesome song to commemorate our fantastic adventures together on Midgard. There couldn't be a more fitting pixie companion to this wandering Viking. And the song that they would like to see here... we'll go with the love of the show, though, Eric Shervin, S-J-E-R-V-N, Shervin. So the song they'd like to hear is the Red Hot Chili Pipers, not to be confused with the Peppers, Smoke on the Water, Thunderstruck, and Upside Down at Eden Court mashup merging medley by the Red Hot Chili Pipers. This is great, and this is, I think this is a lot of fun. Folks hopefully will enjoy. This comes from their album Bag Rock to the Masses, which came out in 2007, of course, covering Deep Purple and AC/DC. And all fun.
All right. I like
it. Yeah. All right.
Fantastic. So should we play it? Should we just do it?
Please. Let's just do it.
All right.
Let's just do it.
I want to formal welcome real quick to Mr. Scott Kurtz from PvP Online fame, the cartoonist with the Marnoonist. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. good friend of the program, co-host on Comic Dorks, been a friend for years, and has finally moved a character over to Earthen Ring and joined our guild.
Oh,
so,
nice. Welcome.
Yeah, looking forward to playing with him. And he will, if you see a panda hunter running around, might just be him.
Nice.
All right, let's do this. Let's do what we're doing. What are we doing? We're playing a song. Here it is. It's Smoke on the Water, all right?
All right.
Mixed with a little Thunderstruck. A little Upside Down. And this. All right, here we go. We'll see you guys on Monday. Thanks, Brian, for a great week.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Thank you, chat room. Hope none of your nerves hurt. We'll see you on Monday. Mm-hmm.
the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
We got scooters.
We got scooters.